We are now recording.
Okay, we'll call the meeting to order at 9:35.
This call is now being recorded.
Okay, we'll call the meeting to order at 9:35. We'll have a roll call, please.
Mr. Klecka? Mr. Klecka?
Mike here.
Mr. Leeds?
Present.
Mr. Sterin?
Here.
Mr. Skaggs?
Present.
Mr. Wilson? Mr. Wilson? We have quorum.
We have a quorum. So we'll do a call to the public, but we do want to know that the members of the public may address the committee during this call for no more than 3 minutes. Pursuant to the rules, the committee members are not allowed to discuss or take legal action on matters raised during an open call to the public unless the matters are properly noticed or for discussion and legal action. However, members may ask staff to review a matter or may ask that a matter be placed on a future agenda. Is there anyone in the public who has anything they want to address that's not on the agenda? Hearing none, we'll move right along. For the adoption of the minutes, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, motion to approve the minutes as written.
I need a second.
And I'll second it.
Any discussion? This is to approve the minutes of April 12, 2022. Hearing none.
Do you want to? I got a hard copy. You want?
Yeah, no, I got it. Thank you.
Okay.
No, I'm good.
All right, I have a vote, please. All in favor of approving the minutes? Say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, the adoption of the minutes has been, the minutes have been adopted. Item number 5, review, discussion, and possible action of the following. I'd like to take this in order. A possible rules classification and or rules revision to be incorporated into a rules package for recommendation to the board. 5A, subtitle A, clarification on defining parallel inspection. Kurt, you want to take off on that for us and let us know what that says?
So we're under R430-102. What are we doing here?
Home inspector definitions.
Yeah, clarification of defining a parallel inspection. Is that where you guys want to start?
Yeah, let's start. It should, the question is, should parallel inspector and peer reviewer be changed?
Actually,
is it not in order?
Right. So A is just about parallel inspection. And so this is what we wanted to have a discussion on. And in my mind, I'm just going to share it with you kind of what I'm thinking.
Okay.
Twofold. One, I really want to emphasize what is the point of the parallel inspections. In my mind, and you're welcome to chime in, the point of the parallel inspection is to make sure that the certified home inspector being granted their certification is prepared, knowledgeable, ready to go out and do adequate home inspections. I personally don't feel like it's well defined and establishes a well-balanced, say, variety of homes, knowing that they can inspect condos, whatever. I just, you know, so for me, that's one issue. It's like, should there be some kind of better clarification that produces a well-informed, well-educated home inspector? The other issue, of course, that we're having with licensing, which is, I'm so grateful Julie's here because she can articulate this better, is the stuff that comes in that we don't feel is adequate. And if we don't feel it's adequate, we just simply say, we'll take this to the board for their approval. And at that point, I believe every single time somebody's just produced another parallel inspection. For instance, when they turn in something that's like an auto body shop, not a home, or the whole issue of a casita or the mother-in-law house, whatever, in the backyard of the property, counting as two versus one. And I'm really grateful that we have Mike Klecka, who's our board member architect, joining us today for this part of it, at least. I know his schedule is limited, but I did speak with him a little bit about this last week, because to me it's a concern. And
I agree, Judith. Yeah, this is Mike Kalaika. Yeah, Judith and I were talking, and I guess one of the concerns that the board might have as this rule kind of gets looked at is the redundancy that may occur in some inspections. For example, if you're in an apartment or a condo, for example, and you're looking at four units that are basically the same, should those really be considered four separate inspections because they basically have identical conditions, or should there be a limit on how many would be permitted in a duplex, triplex, quadplex, or condo project? And so that's something that I was hoping to at least have some dialogue today on that before I have to jump off here in about 15 minutes or so.
Thank you. This is Peter. First off, I want to be real. I want to thank staff for being able to identify an auto body shop and say it's not a home inspection and those type of things.
Julie's amazing staff.
This is exactly what we want staff to do, okay? Because if that comes to us, it's just going to be kicked right back. Insofar as redefining the parallel inspection, do we have a definition of parallel inspection up on the board anywhere here? Anybody have it? The definition is...
It's in depths. Obviously it's in the rules.
Yeah, it's in the rules. If we could see that. But the definition, I thought, was pretty clear, and I don't see that any way to really redefine that or tweak that would stop people from making major mistakes such as bringing in an auto body shop. That it's definitely not in there. But when it comes to condos, fourplexes and using all four as four separate parallel inspections, we need to discuss that. And I say that simply because even though you've got four adjacent units or even attached units, they're not going to be the same. You're going to have the same scope, but the scope of the inspection is already written in our standards. You're going to have different problems in each one of those. So I don't see that would be a problem, but that's just my opinion.
I agree. So as far as trying to mandate a variety, any kind of variety of dwelling units, I just don't see that being reasonable, both for staff to try to apply and for us to try to define. If it's a dwelling unit and it's inspected, then it should be counted as a parallel, even if it's four similar ones. If we see egregious violations or folks taking advantage of this by doing, 30 units in a big building or something because they can, that seems to be a case-by-case basis here. I realize people.
But there's nothing you could do. If there's nothing that says you have to have so many detached single-family dwellings or whatever.
Right.
So
I'm in favor of not defining that.
To go if they inspected 30 condos.
Yeah. The vast majority of the parallels that you get in, the 30, are vast majority have some variety in there. Is this big of an issue where we need to try to define the type of property and require that as a mandate for licensing?
Not a mandate necessarily, but you're saying you feel like they are sufficiently trained with those 30 that they turn in.
Sufficially trained? No way. We're trying to set the bar low just to make minimum basis.
Yeah,
minimum,
exactly.
Person out there.
I guess, Mike, but I think to Judith's point, this is Mike, the concern is that, okay, could someone theoretically have all 30 parallel inspections in one building? And does that provide enough background and well-rounded sort of knowledge set if it's all in one spot? And that's where I think the board's a little concerned, is how much repetition will we allow? I understand that each unit is different and may have different problems, but when you're kind of taking, say, 20 of the same units over and over again, does that really create enough variety, in terms of a condo versus a house versus a duplex? Should there be certain limits on each type? Because obviously there are different issues inside or outside relative to those different types of housing.
You're limited to four.
That's true. A home inspection is an inspection on a property of four units or less.
That's right.
So,
right, but still,
but if that's not clarified in the definition of parallel inspection, maybe that should be done. On the other hand, so you're not going to be able to, you're not supposed to be able to do 30 condos in the same building. Okay,
right.
It's four units or less. So you're only good up to a fourplex. And that keeps us out of the commercial aspect of construction. The insofar as if you had a fourplex and you did each one with a different address and a different electrical meter and a different water main, those will be four separate dwellings, and they're going to have, I can promise you, they're going to have different problems. Even different materials, and very often on fourplex, different roofs, all sorts of different things. So I'm not concerned with that. But if there are people that are bringing in home inspections of 30 parallel inspections, all at the same address, just different unit numbers, that's not something that we should be able to accept.
No, if it's the same address, it's the situation with the casita on the same property.
Right. Now the casita. The casita, we've discussed this in length, whereas the casita, if it's a guest house, for instance, with a different address, different gas meter, different mm-hmm. electrical meter.
Which it never is a different address.
Right. So casitas, we threw them out, I think, months ago, didn't we?
It is a separate dwelling unit, though. It meets all the requirements, Peter, for a separate dwelling unit.
Well, the rules here, if you read through them, say that it has to have a different address. It has to have its own
meters
on all the utilities,
mm-hmm.
okay, and therefore it becomes
also
a
accessible from the street.
Is right, that
as
well?
That?
Is that that ARS 33-1310 from?
Mm-hmm.
Here it is.
Is it on our sheets?
So if you click on it, should be a link in the actual document.
I don't have it. I don't remember seeing
that. If it says all that, it's
pretty
long. Well, I'll read.
Read. Nice.
Single family residence means a structure maintained and used as a single dwelling unit. Notwithstanding that a dwelling unit shares one or more walls with another dwelling unit, it is a single-family residence if it has direct access to a street or thoroughfare and does not share heating facilities, hot water equipment, or any other essential facility or service with any other dwelling unit.
That's hot water type definition, but yeah, that's
well defined. It eliminates mm-hmm. casitas that are at the same property.
It's direct access to the street.
Right. In other words, it can't be behind a house, and the only way to get to it is to open a yard gate or go through the house to get to this other house.
It doesn't have to have a driveway, but it has to have direct access.
This is a Title 33, which is property. It's not under our title. It's
right.
So that my question was, is it an umbrella definition that covers everything about property, including our look at property, or does our own rules and statutes?
Right. I mean, that definition is in there. There's some high-rise condos that share hot water, some don't. Some share electric, some don't. And who the heck knows when you get a list in on parallel. But some of this is shared. HOA pays for gas, electric sometimes, water mm-hmm. often. We don't know.
I want to roll this back to Judith's concern that the inspector is not being fully...
Trained.
And the problem with that is inspectors, I've been in the business in Arizona for 27, I think, years. I'm still learning. I don't consider myself fully trained until I run into things and I see every day that I haven't seen before. But on the other hand, okay, I don't think that there's any way that we can consider any of these new inspectors as fully trained. I can say Well, no, so we're saying that
for licensing.
We're saying that they're meeting. We're saying they're trained enough to meet the minimum standard, which is very, very low. It's designed to be low to teach to enable people to get into the business. It takes years to be fully trained. It takes years to be adequately
trained. Never fully trained.
These things take years. We can't expect, it's not like an engineer who's going to go out and design a bridge, okay? You don't hire a newbie to do that. And when it comes to home inspections, the only way that we can get these home inspectors to actually get trained is to let them go out and make mistakes. And this is the way the system is set up. Unfortunately,
are we protecting the public by saying, hey, we're going to set the bar as low as we can? And
no, we didn't set it as low as we could. We're fighting the standard all the time to bring them up to a minimum standard where we feel that the public is actually being serviced and the inspector is at a point where he actually can do the job and learn how to do it better. That's the best that we can do. Otherwise, you're going to end up knocking our home inspector pool down to 3 or 4 dozen guys that in each county that are able to do that, and we need many, many more.
I think we're at 1,000, so I'm not worried about 3 or 4 in each county. But you want to keep it where it is, that's fine. If we have questions, we'll just take it to the board.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea. All right. On the other hand, staff has to be alert and they have to be ready to identify the items such as a commercial building being used as a home inspection, things like that.
Stuff comes in all the time.
Yeah, so and I'm so happy that they don't come to me.
But and the parallel,
that's the parallel inspector.
Inspectors that are supposed to be reviewing all these things, and this kind of stuff is coming in.
Well, we're also counting on staff to actually address the parallel inspector, or what we're hoping to turn into the supervising inspector. To tell him, when his people come in, he has signed an attestation. What is it? Attestation?
Attestation.
Okay,
yeah, it's hard
one
to
of
say,
those words, right? anyway, he has signed one that says that these people have done 30, if they eat them all under him, parallel inspections, that each one meets the standard after he has reviewed them and corrected them and reviewed them and corrected them until they met the standard. That's what they're supposed to be doing. That's in black and white. Now, if somebody comes in with a house, an inspection that's not a house,
right? He should be dinged.
Then it's my concern is more with the property, my concern is more with the parallel inspector than it is with the applicant, the candidate. Okay, my concern
is with both, because now the teacher has just set the example and taught the.
Well, of course, the concern is with both.
Certified home inspector,
but the only way you're going to stop that is to go after the supervising inspector, not really the parallel inspector. You stop the parallel inspector, the candidate in his tracks because it didn't meet the standard, but he's sending us one.
But if the standards aren't clear, that's not
the standards are very clear. To anyone in the industry, they understand exactly what they're supposed to be looking at. The definitions in our rules are telling the parallel inspector our supervising inspector, exactly what he's supposed to be doing. And when it comes in and it's not that way, we should not only be refusing that application, we should be going after the guy who thinks he's qualified to parallel. And staff can do that.
They should be trained.
We can bring him back into peer review. Maybe peer review shouldn't ought to just be on
complaints. We need some other kind
complaints.
Of procedure. We need some other kind of procedure to, to designate who can do parallel inspection.
Exactly.
Well, we have that.
Supervising inspector.
We have that. And by the way, my adversary over here.
So you're saying it's just good. We should just leave it.
I think that we have to. We just have to be diligent. And then but not just leave it. When these types of things come in, I think we should pursue that.
But to mandate a variety of property types, just onerous, I think. You think it might be tough getting parallels now? I need parallel on this type. I need parallel on that type.
Because a parallel inspector might not be adequately trained
the
himself
property
to be
type,
able to.
The properties might not be available.
Might not be available. And so now we're not just waiting on a parallel inspector. We're waiting on the right property type so that they can check off a different type of box It was never
so
meant
to... the difference between condos and mobile homes.
Yeah,
and
yeah, exactly.
That's kind of
the, all the different kinds of dwelling units if we start mandating.
No,
but the real,
not that specific. Just I wouldn't want somebody inspecting my house who had done 30 condos. Because I don't feel
the only thing, the only thing we could do...
And the same box, so there's 84
items. Isn't going to know.
You know, the only thing we could do...
Let me back up. Why?
Because I don't think they're going to be
well. What did they miss by doing?
They have one single detached family dwelling.
What did they miss? Did they miss footings? No, they got footings. Did they miss slabs on grade? No, they got slabs. Did they miss? What did they miss? So, in order to accomplish what you want to do, you say that's a little prejudice. Saying the guy
I'm
already
just
did
saying,
condos.
Like,
they
no
got
more
rooms,
than
they got windows,
four, whatever, or something like that. But hey, I'm not going to argue with you guys. You're the experts.
There's so much.
So let's just let it go and move on, because I don't want to beat this to death like we do everything. If you want to leave it, let's leave it and move on.
And I appreciate everybody the dialogue. I can tell there's a lot of passion on each of the vantage points. You know, and obviously I'll try to make this a discussion point at a future board meeting. I'll work with Kurt and Judith on that. But no, appreciate that. You know, I think the key is making sure there's a good variety of experience, and sounds like that's what this committee is obviously looking to do, and we appreciate that. So, and unfortunately, I'm going to have to sign off here in a couple minutes, but I'm going to stay on for a few more, and I'll just log off here in a few. So.
Okay, before we move on, though, Judith. If in fact we were to make them do a variety, what would that variety be?
I don't know. You just said you don't feel like there should be a variety.
Well, I did not say that. You said that. You put those words in my mouth. What would the variety be?
You don't want a variety.
Yeah.
So as long as it meets whatever baseline criteria,
well, no.
Then we're good
okay.
to go.
The only thing, if I may,
yeah,
it would mean mandating a certain percentage of single family detached, right? If we were ever going to do anything, it would be a percentage has to be single family detached, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, and leave that as your option, and then they can work any other variety of that. But I think that would be a good thing to at least consider.
Is that what you're looking for, Judith?
Yeah, I'm not spelling out each 30 parallels what it has to be. I just don't think that they should all be one thing.
Are they coming in as always one thing?
So I haven't seen that, you
right.
know, on any, however, like what Paul, what you had mentioned earlier, if someone turns in a log of 30 apartment inspections, I can't bring that to the board for concern because there's nothing in the rules or statutes that say that's not allowed.
No, because it's not, we're saying the same building. You could go to multiple buildings.
The reality is, this just is not a problem right now. Not
you're
at
saying,
all.
You've
got bigger fish to fry.
Right, yeah, for example.
Okay, now if...
Or they can take.
Well, that was my other question, I guess, that I wanted to bring up the clarification on the definition of home inspection, a residential building of four units or less. I guess that was never very clear to licensing what that meant. So I think we had discussions like a few months ago. Yes, we can take apartments, condos, duplexes, all of that.
So
but
more than four from the same address.
Yeah, so that's the understanding is that they can only do four apartments in the same building. That's not
it's
quite
to be
clear.
It's four duplexes is what that is all about.
Yeah.
They don't want you going to the commercial.
It's four units in one.
Yeah.
One. High rise though.
Yeah, no.
You're
not supposed
four
to be
plexes. Four plexes are four separate dwelling units, but they're all combined in one property.
Okay, not like four apartment. Okay, because I think we talked about that a few months ago, where people are getting apartments sold to them as condos now,
mm-hmm.
and so if we're accepting condos, but they're part of apartment building, technically,
no, that's still the same though.
That doesn't meet a parallel rule. That means you're not restricting home inspectors from doing that.
Right.
But when it comes to getting licensed, that can't be part of his licensing package.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be four units or less. Okay.
Okay.
And
so
now, what happens now if a home inspector goes out and inspects 30 apartments? There's nothing to stop him from doing that.
Right.
But it does remove us from jurisdiction over that.
Scott,
okay?
Are you there, Scott?
Yep. Yep.
Would you agree with that based on the statute as it reads?
Could you? Repeat the statement.
The statement was that a home, we can't stop a home inspector from going in and inspecting 30 apartments in the normal course of his business.
But for purposes of counting them as a parallel inspection, you could not
count
those units unless it came from a dwelling that was no more than a fourplex in size. That's the question, right, Julie?
Correct.
That's all home inspection based on the definition.
So we have been accepting.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
So if go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say that, like, legally, the parallels would have to be of something that would be subject to a normal inspection anyway. So it's something that an inspector could normally inspect, you would be able to do a parallel of, but you couldn't do a parallel of something that wouldn't be subject to our statutes for inspection.
In essence, if the home inspector is inspecting beyond the scope of what we define a home inspection as, we don't stop it. On the other hand, when he's coming in to be certified, he has to meet the standards that bring it into our jurisdiction, which is 4 units or less. So for a parallel inspection, he has the inspections he does has to meet our definition of a home inspection.
We're going to have to send out some kind of
because I think this
clarification
when we talked about this previously, it was when the whole casita conversation came about, and well, that's not considered, you know, a separate residential dwelling. However, like an apartment or a condo would be, and so we have been proceeding accepting inspections for
it's
those.
It's not going to hurt anything. They still go through the whole thing. It's just they don't meet that fourplex.
And I think that's why I had wanted the clarification on the agenda, because that's the difference. The job function of a home inspector, of course, you can do an inspection on an apartment, but for the purpose of a parallel inspection, I don't think there's that separation as far as for our definition goes.
Well,
there's just one home inspection definition.
If that apartment's a fourplex or less, it would count.
So, but we didn't have that clarification before, which I think we should also bring up a board meeting to make that clear on record that that's, you know,
right.
And so there's a fourplex, then there's 4 kitchens, maybe 4 garages, 4 patios, 4 front doors. I mean, how is that going to be a parallel inspection or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
What about 4 different inspections? I mean, is that what we're looking at?
Well, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Is that
right.
That would be 4 parallel
doors. Yeah.
But what we're saying is if they turn in an inspection of a condo in a building that has 300 units or anything more than 4, we're not going to accept that as a parallel inspection.
No, it's got to meet the standard of what a parallel.
So a fourplex can be 4 parallel inspections.
After
that's what I'm hearing.
No. It's 4 or less. If something comes to your desk that says that this is such and such an address, unit 5055, there's a good chance that that is more than 4 units. The parallel inspections have to meet the definition of the home inspection that we have jurisdiction over, which is 4 units or less.
Well,
and then you can run, once you get certified, you can run and inspect that whole building for all I care.
I totally agree. We just really needed that clarification, and I think that we're going to need to tweak some documents, say in the board meeting, make sure we maybe send out something to the schools to remind them, maybe an email blast to all home inspectors, since we don't have any designation of parallel inspectors, that we could separate them out. And
maybe we could.
Not in this lifetime, I don't think.
Oh, come on.
I think there should be, but that's not on the agenda.
Now, my concern with, is it Mike?
Are you still there, Mike? I think he might have had a couple.
And you going to the board for clarification of variety of home inspections, okay? We need an input on that. because if you're going to put, if you're going to require a variety, a percentage of different things.
You know what, actually, Peter, I'm not, because I'm not going to go there. This is the temperature of it. I'm not, and then plus
and now,
the clarification
with the clarification
with
about the apartments, yeah, then that kind of
then I'm like
against that.
Yeah, I think that if everyone is made aware that a parallel inspection has to meet, the building has to meet the definition of a home inspection, which is clearly four units or less.
Well, I'm glad you're saying it's clearly, because it hasn't been a clearly. I can promise you that.
Well, maybe not to the industry, because they're not reading.
And they're not coming in that way.
They're coming in for $150. That's all
right.
They're doing.
Go ahead, Kurt.
I was going to say, David has his hand raised.
Oh.
David, what do you got?
David.
You know, I've been doing parallels for over 20 years. And, I guess at some level, it's just like going to school or college or whatever. And, you know, if somebody wants to cheat, you're really only cheating yourself. And so, you know, police work required to do what's being talked about and ask staff to do this kind of police work is pretty cumbersome. When you talk about a log with an address, what are you going to ask them to look up every property and analyze it for compliance?
That is what we do.
They do because of what's been coming in. Because previously, David, all 30 weren't really being looked at. It was just you pick one and submit it. And I said, I just don't feel good about that. I don't feel like we're doing our due diligence with that. How do you even know? I mean, what's going on there? And if they cherry pick the one that's the great inspection that maybe is the one the parallel reviewed, you know, I'm looking at it from the.
I'm in agreement.
It seems to me that
fire, so.
when you like the professionals, it just it can go into or run to the bottom where you have trainers that are willing to do that and people are willing to pay for that type of training, and I don't know, it's changing a few words and here and there and applying more changes to staff. If you want to go there, you can, but they're going to find a way around it. It's just human nature.
Well, all we can do is try our best to make sure that we're holding everybody accountable to what's in the law and at least looking at it. I mean, before we weren't, the board wasn't even looking at it, or the staff wasn't, you know, it was just one. And so I feel like we've done a lot to try to have greater accountability.
Yeah, and just to offer, I have heard, you know, a couple complaints that because the BTR is now verifying addresses, and if you're not able to verify an address for some reason, but it's a real life dwelling unit that gets bounced out, and there's some unhappy applicants from that. So I'm also adding that, obviously, with the additional scrutiny that hasn't been done before. And if staff has time to do that, that's great, but that's arduous to go through.
Why would an address be
so the new builds is what
I don't know. It could be a new build and it's not
exactly
in, so then it gets bounced out, but it was a home inspection.
And we don't, it's not that we're saying they don't count. We just ask for additional, like a picture of the, you know, the first page
okay.
of the report or a picture of the home, because when we Google it, it's not pulling up anything.
Right.
So.
And now it's a function of, is it Googleable?
Right.
There we go. A new term. Googleable. It's Googleable. It's a real house.
Right. Were you going to say something, Joel?
The last meeting you guys were talking about possibly training the parallel inspector, right?
Right. That's another.
Is that in this?
I don't know if it's on this agenda here, but we need to discuss that.
I mean, that's where you would take care of that whole issue.
Gets back to what Roger was.
Yes. And I was going to say, yeah, some training or at least that blast email or some sort of information being sent out.
I would be willing to commit.
Anything like that is a courtesy because there's no designation.
There is no designation, but that's the perfect place to put all the information we want these parallel inspectors to know. So if so a letter out to parallel inspectors, or if we, because we're going to change the definition a little bit, but the parallel inspector, if he had a rule sheet to follow, that might help. You know, just something written up where your inspection has to meet the criteria, the
what
definition.
What about the report and checklist supplement? What about that?
Well, we have all of that.
That's just the report.
But I'm talking about what types of properties they're allowed to.
Okay.
They need more administrative training is what they need. And I think I'd like to commit to, I mean, we could create a 10 or probably a 15 to 20 minute video. And then you guys could post it, and they could look at it online. I mean, I would do that for
nothing. No, it sounds to me like this should be in the association.
The confusion is that, again, the job function of a home inspector. They're like, oh, I'm going to inspect this commercial property. I'll bring along the applicant, but that, you know, for the purpose of the parallel,
it's not
acceptable. So there's some pushback there.
Where's Caden go?
He's looking for a table to project and... anyway, I do recommend we move on.
So future agenda...
parallel training.
Yeah, parallel inspector training.
It'll be supervising inspector by the time we get around.
Yeah, it could be.
I don't know. Kurt, but did you draft all this? This stuff
I think we
here.
Can do something now.
Is this yours?
It's a mix of all staff. And this version here was created by me where I took all the suggestions and comments out to the side and put it in the pink to give an idea of what it is.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff here that I really like. You know, on this here. I mean, are we skipping over this?
No. We haven't got past A. All right?
We haven't got past A.
That's right. I haven't got past A subchapter A. Okay.
Is Julie good?
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Let's carry that to our next agenda, and let's move. If there's no objections, let me find my. Here we go to 5AB, the home inspector certification. Are there any objections? Okay. The home inspector certification with emphasis on defining separate residential dwelling units. We just reviewed that as well. So let's go to 5AC.
Oh, can I ask what the answer is to that?
Separate dwelling units was defined. We defined those as Kurt just read the definition.
So you guys are accepting the Title 33 property definition?
You're going to accept it totally different. I mean, it's...
How is it different?
Because now what that is not going to allow a guest house in the back, you know, a separate dwelling.
Guest house in the back have its own meter? See, this is what we're concerned with. Does it have its own water meter? Does it have...
It would.
So what's the... Where doesn't it meet?
It doesn't say that on their rule.
What didn't it say? You want to read that one more time, Kurt, if you can?
So, again, this is from Title 33 property. Single-family residence means a structure maintained and used as a single dwelling unit. Notwithstanding that a dwelling unit shares one or more walls with another dwelling unit, it is a single-family residence if it has direct access to a street or thoroughfare and does not share heating facilities, hot water equipment, or any other essential facility or service with any other dwelling unit.
So we could share an address, right? Nothing saying it could not share an address.
I think we could contact do research on that direct access from the street.
That's a little nebulous.
Because I feel like that.
Is it for vehicular or pedestrian?
Or airborne.
Or the postal service.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with sharing driveways and things like that.
Right.
That would be direct access. I don't see that.
Driveway is not required for a dwelling unit. But,
this is a separate residential dwelling unit. That's titled different. So you guys have this in your rules. This is the one you want to stay with. Separate residential dwelling unit.
Right.
Well, that's...
That's in the glossary of the...
Well, just so there's... the rules, that particular term, let's see, the resident is, where is it? My bad. Separate residential dwelling units is not defined, I think, as it's something different that has to do with professional exceptions that's defined. And I just want to make sure it's clear.
A detached single family.
So this is the one I think you need to modify, Peter, or clarify. Under that
detached single family dwelling as opposed to separate residential dwelling unit. And so those are completely different things.
They are different things.
Right. And that specific language, detached single family dwelling, has to do with the exception rules for professionals. With somebody who's a non-registrant has an exception to, you know, design a house if it's under a certain square footage.
Oh, that's for the engineering part,
right.
The architect part. So
right.
This is what we're going over here. That's what you want to clarify.
I wish I could put it up there, but if you guys look on the rule changes, the idea was either making a list of what these separate residential dwellings were, which it sounds like no, And then my other idea was, if we don't do that, just cross that bit out. So it would read, instead of reading, the applicant shall conduct the inspection on separate residential dwelling units and shall list them on a log, it'll just say the applicant shall list them on a log provided by the board. And then you just go back to the definition of a home inspection in the statutes.
Yeah, makes sense, right?
And then there's no confusion. What is a you just take it out.
Right.
You just, and it's a home inspection. You need a log of home inspections.
Yep. Would that satisfy Julie, though?
Because we've defined a home inspection already.
Because she's the one that's on the front line of trying to determine whether this property was.
Well, in the glossary, what does it say for separate residential dwelling unit for home inspection?
I don't think there is a glossary.
It's not in the glossary. There are standards. Right.
Well, because these are rules, so they would be in the rule definitions, which is the beginning of the rules. I don't recall there being one, but we could double check.
It's defined in AAC R43247, A and 6, A6.
Sorry, what
did you say? It says it's defined in R430.
It's not
247A6.
It's fine. It's listed. It's talked about.
That's just the rules that we're changing.
Oh, okay. A6?
A6 is the parallel inspection.
Yeah, that's the language that we're changing, pretty much.
Okay.
Further, anyways.
Where it says they shall conduct these on separate residential dwelling units and list them on a log. With respect to the address of the property,
date of the inspection. Yeah, it's not defined in the rules.
So we want to define a separate residential dwelling unit.
Or, as I said, just scratch that completely out and defer to the statutes.
Okay.
Yes. What, 3313A or whatever
it is? The applicant shall conduct these inspections and shall list them on a log.
That's a detach you are.
Without saying that.
That's what I had put in there, just to cross it out. Cause,
sorry, I forgot.
So the parallel inspections and home inspection reports shall meet the standards and blah, 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 and be retained by the applicant. The applicant shall list them on a log provided by the board.
So when you get an application and you get the log and it shows a guest house from this conversation, what are you going
to
do?
Because it has the same address. So then she's going to come and talk to me, and I'm going to say, take it to the board unless they can provide another one.
See, we need to have, you got to have clarification just to eliminate all this confusion.
Can you bother the board with this?
Yep.
It's up to you guys.
That's come good. On.
Because there's so much ambiguity with the guest house situation. It is not always a separate electrical panel, a separate,
they always have
separate.
They'll have a sub panel.
Not working.
No, it's not.
Sub panel is not a separate meter.
It's not.
You see, okay.
We're looking for a standalone unit so that if the people in the main house shut all their utilities off, this guy can still live. Okay, it's that simple.
Well,
and if there's no way to actually understand that in the paperwork that's given, because the address doesn't have a B on it or a back house written in the address or something like that, then I'm all for throwing it. You know,
and staff is not familiar with what they should be looking for as far as the electrical panel.
You can't tell
panel,
when you Google.
The, you know,
you can't tell.
You need the parallel.
And when you're looking at the earth view and you see a big house and you see another.
Right.
Well, in the report, you'll see main panel, and if it says not available or not there, then you know it's not.
Yeah, that's.
But
that
see, now it gets into the report.
Exactly. Well, no,
and we don't want 30 reports.
Unfortunately, the main panel and distribution panels are all addressed pretty much. No, you're right. The main panel, the disconnect, and the service should all be addressed on every report. So, but we can't expect staff to go into the report to find out whether or not they're addressing the main panel. That happens when it comes to us.
Oh, it's a separate.
And, I mean, for what it's worth, all of the things that we've done to try to show greater due diligence with home inspectors and beyond, we've gone from 2 licensing individuals to 5, and we're still
having problems. I'm so happy you're doing that, to be honest with you, because I see so much garbage come across my desk. But on the other hand, if we're really concerned with the general public, then I have no problems with you picking out these things, cherry picking them, and throwing them out. Say, give me something that we can be sure meets the standard for a parallel inspection. And I know it just aggravates these guys, but you know.
Right. Julie's going to get always people being combative because there's certain instructors and whatnot that are going to always be combative, and then that leaves us to, okay, we'll just go to the board, and then the next board meeting we can get it on.
Is it Scott, would it be against the rules to write down all of these parallel inspectors that are giving the staff trouble and then bringing them all into a meeting one day?
Legal is going to refrain on this one.
I thought you would say so. But the trouble parallel inspectors really need to be educated.
There you go.
It's on the agenda.
Any other comments on separate residential dwellings? What we decided to do is pull it back to the definitions that are in our standards. Is that right?
I don't know if we made the decision. Well, I think the discussion's still going.
Kurt's proposing that we just
scratch it.
You know that we use the standards for
architects.
Well, for architects, whatever it is, 3313, Title 3313, or
separate residential dwelling units.
Separate residential dwelling units, yes.
But does that encompass the casita guest house as well? Still not 100% clear, yeah.
Well, no, it wouldn't unless they had the separate utilities.
Mm-hmm. That's going to need to be part of the education.
That's right.
Which I count on the associations to do.
Yeah, I don't know.
In other words, this committee is not an educational thing. This committee is a regulatory thing. We count on the associations to give us to do the education. That's why we got so many association members all around us.
We need something to start with, though.
What's the report review checklist? That's a type of education on how to have the report meet the standard. I think we do some educating.
Well, I didn't say we don't do educating. I'm saying we're not responsible.
Yeah, no, I understand, but. At any rate, I do think that there's an opportunity to get all the parallel inspectors on the same page with some guidelines, whether you want to call it education or not, but guidelines, directives, policy, whatever.
Because the only thing that an inspector needs to be a parallel inspector or a supervising inspector right now is, you know, 250 inspections in 3 years out in the field.
Mm-hmm. And no.
That's it.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's better than it was. I mean, it was, you know, if you'd done just one inspection, you could have been a parallel inspector.
Now.
So that got changed, and thank you very much. But nonetheless, you know, that's where we got to start, right?
Oh, that's where the bar is set right now. But the discussion is...
The amount of inspections...
It's always been 250. What else?
No, in the beginning, you didn't even need 250 inspections. As long as you were certified home inspector, you could do a parallel.
We are off topic here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
Peter doesn't want to go.
That's not true. But the the definitions of home inspections. Let's go to 5AC. Home inspector definitions with emphasis on parallel inspecting and peer reviewers. Now that is the interesting part of this meeting today. Am I wrong, Kurt?
It's one of the things that...
what's in blue?
Yeah. Okay, so it says here, the question is, should parallel inspector and peer reviewer be changed to a single entity such as supervising inspector? And I'm assuming you guys did your homework and read this definition of supervising inspector. And what it does is it takes the definitions of the parallel inspector and the peer reviewer inspector, combines it into one. The only thing you lose here... is the difference between the parallel inspector and the home inspector was the parallel inspector got away with 3 years and the peer reviewer had to have experience for 5 years, and then we've moved that 5 years down to 3 years to make it one supervising mm-hmm. inspector. And as much as I fought for that 5 years at GERC and lost, since they thought that the parallel inspector could do it with 3 years. I have no problems with the peer reviewer doing it for 3 years.
So supervising inspector and parallel inspector are one and the same.
One and the same. So in essence, what it would be was 250 fee-paid inspections, mm-hmm. 3 years in the business, and I think is it 3 years also, at least 3 years with no
disciplinary
action. Being good standing with
and
the
that's important. No disciplinary action.
So in my opinion, and I'll start this out, I think the definition of supervising inspector, number two, the definition of parallel inspection, and the definition of number three, peer review, were all well written, and I have no problems with any of those three paragraphs.
He didn't agree to the draft, just so you guys know for that. Hayden had written this draft.
Well, that means
nothing. So, but specifically, we're talking about combining supervising inspector and peer review inspector, right?
No, combining parallel inspector and peer review inspector into supervising inspector.
Okay, so making them all the same.
Right.
If you scroll down, you'll see the old definitions as well.
Okay.
Now,
yeah.
The reason they're different is because the parallel inspector came out in the beginning, and the peer reviewer came out just several years back. Okay, so mm-hmm. they were defined
yeah.
differently
at different times
when they all actually become the same thing.
Right.
And as long as you have training for your parallel inspector, that'd be perfect. Then they'll understand peer reviews and everything.
It does look like Julie added one little change. If you guys look up there, just us changing the word applicant to candidate in number two.
Yeah. Also, what should we define what a candidate is?
I know we're going back and forth on candidates and applicants because when they're if they haven't turned in an application, they're
not an applicant,
right?
So that's when they're doing their parallels is before they turn in their application.
Also, you know, through this, I've read that if an inspection is done 2 years prior to a submission of their application, it can be counted as a parallel inspection.
Well, that we haven't got that far to talk about that. Let's talk about the, let's go step by step.
Okay.
One, two, and three. Anybody have any problems with that?
Just some
okay.
grammar stuff and some
be specific.
Okay, parallel inspection, home inspection completed by a home inspection candidate. That is supervised by a certified home inspector acting as supervising inspector for the purpose of meeting the requirements for certification pursuant to R4, blah, 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 in essence to more than three other applicants.
And we would change it to candidates.
Candidates. The candidate shall produce a written report for a parallel inspection. That's basically all I got. Changing the to each on the candidate instead of the candidate be each candidate, just in case there's multiple candidates on the parallel inspection.
Oh, that's a good idea. Each candidate. Yeah.
Each. And candidates. So I'll put an S in there for plural.
I think each candidate shall produce a written is accurate.
Okay.
Each one of them.
For each,
we don't want to lose the fact that we're talking about a parallel inspection. In the presence of no more than three other applicants should be as far as the plurals go, and then come back to your singular again.
Three other candidates. Mm-hmm.
The candidate shall produce, not the candidates. Okay, we're talking about parallel inspections.
Mm-hmm.
So I would not put an S on that first candidates, as you were saying, and I wouldn't put an S on any of the other candidates. Okay.
Nothing has changed on our parallel inspection definition other than referring to a supervising inspector.
That's it,
right? But nothing else has changed.
And I like the supervising inspector. I do like
right,
that.
Right, right. So not much has changed other than the supervising reference in paragraph two, right?
Yeah, and the other change that would be will be applicants to candidate. Maybe
okay.
It's time to talk about that right now. Okay, does anyone have a problem? Let's have a history on it.
That's what Kurt just said, because they aren't necessarily, they haven't applied mm-hmm. yet, but they are, so they're a candidate, they're hoping to apply, but they're working
yeah.
on their parallels, but
yeah.
they haven't actually submitted an application yet.
Yeah.
And that will really even be applicable when we move to our online platform, hopefully in fiscal 23, because you can go in to your online profile, your online application, start things, be completing it, but not hit the submit button. And until it's submitted, you're not, staff hasn't received your application to start the process.
But that makes sense. An applicant isn't an applicant until they have a submitted package.
Yeah.
But my only question would be,
and for clarity, you don't accept an application unless it's complete. Is that
correct?
With 30 parallel or what?
Even if it's incomplete, once it's submitted, they're an applicant,
so
right?
So right now,
well, yeah,
when they believe it's complete.
But if they can't submit it until everything's complete.
They're a candidate.
I mean, is that true?
Yes. So it'll make it easier when we go online because they won't be able, until those mandatory uploads are all in there and everything's in there, they won't be able to hit submit. That being said, I know from experience that, say, a photo is required or something like that, it doesn't prohibit somebody from uploading a family picture or a picture of their cat. And then at that point, staff says you're deficient, you're notified, and that kind of thing. But in the bigger picture, it allows for everything to be complete before they can hit submit versus sticking it in a package in the mail.
Right.
There's a lot greater likelihood that it will come in and complete and just, yeah.
And once they hit submit, they're still a candidate because we're not going to have an applicant anymore.
Then they're an applicant.
Okay.
Because the application is in and now it's being reviewed.
But they're,
but you're looking for 30 parallel inspections, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, the log.
Now, maybe I'm going off topic a little bit, but that means that there's a chance that these guys that are walking through houses with me, and I'm the supervising inspector, at that point, I mean, this guy has not been background checked. There's no fingerprint card. I mean, how do I handle that as a business owner as well as a certified?
That's a business decision, Roger.
And you're kind of the one who's doing the actual home inspection. They're kind of tagging along, and you look at theirs to see if it's up to par, right?
Right, but this guy that's tagging along has not been background checked and not fingerprint card.
Business decision. You got to know the people. You got, I mean, if he comes to you off the street.
You got to have him sign a release or something. You need to do it. But
it's all done in your own business.
Yeah.
The state board, the board's not going to get involved.
It still comes down to, can a single supervising inspector do both roles here? That's really what the agenda item.
Yeah, that's the whole idea.
Right. And so what I'm getting back to is I don't see any downside to combining these into a single.
What, parallel inspector?
In other words, a supervising inspector can handle a peer review or a parallel, right? That's exactly what we're talking about, right?
So peer review number three.
And I'm just not seeing a downside to combining that.
I don't see one either. Anybody see one? David, you got a problem with that?
Is David
That sounds good to me.
Okay.
So
Keith, you got any issues with that?
So number three is going to go away?
No, but I suggest maybe adding some kind of terminology to where the supervising inspector can be held accountable for meeting the standards that he's required to.
Well, they are held accountable on the
attestation,
right?
I read that somewhere. Isn't that in there?
They're certifying that.
I thought it was in there.
They did the right job, and if they didn't, doesn't that hold them automatically accountable, Scott?
It refers back to what the definition of a home inspection, I think. But I think they're on the hook for that anyway.
Right.
I believe they are.
Right.
I think just for the report is where they have to be in compliance. What I'm talking about is the procedure of going to a commercial property and using that as a residential. The parallel inspector should have some kind of accountability.
Yeah.
I
can't put that in
mind.
Just to meet the standards.
Scott, I feel like it would be a struggle to do a lot with that.
Agreed.
Couldn't and candidate / applicant turn in their log, and then the log, if it's, we say no, you can't, those addresses aren't good or whatever, couldn't they then, if they wish, put it in a complaint against the parallel inspector saying you didn't take me to the correct properties, that should count and you should know better, or something of that nature?
Well, good. But again, looking at it from Scott's perspective, I think that I think it would be difficult to for Scott to
right.
defend a lot of that.
Right.
Right. At the end of the day, and again, I can't really, I have to be really careful because I can't, I'm the board of counsel, but I can't really propose potential rules or anything like that. But the board, it would be good to keep in mind that the board regulates the practice, but not the the education necessarily. So there is a point where the board can't really necessarily get into disciplining someone for something that's not a professional act per se. But it does get a little bit difficult there when looking at parallel inspectors.
On the other hand, the parallel inspector has the right to sue the candidate has the right to sue in civil court.
Oh yeah,
you know the parallel inspector if he misrepresented himself. So I mean all that is already in the world.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. The only thing I see here is that the one applicant, when you're talking about the definition of supervising inspector, that one word applicant needs to be changed to candidate. Did you do that yet?
I did. And what defines the candidate?
We already know what the candidate is. We just
somebody who hasn't submitted their application yet, but somebody who maybe
who wants to be a home inspector.
Who wants to be a home inspector has not submitted an app yet.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a candidate.
That's fine.
Just prior to anybody
to. Should we put that in writing somewhere?
No, I don't think we need to.
Self-explanatory to most people?
I don't think they're going to look at that and wonder what they are.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be an issue for folks, right?
I don't think so.
Just trying to cover all bases, that's all.
Yeah.
If you guys, it sounds like you're for this change.
Yes.
So I'm going to just delete out my pink.
Or keep with the current language, you mean?
And number three can go away. Right?
No, number three stays.
And then I'm going to get rid of these.
One, two, and three. You have the supervising inspector, you still have the definition of parallel inspection, and you still have a definition of a peer review. Okay?
Okay, what's that?
So this one now becomes
the advantage of that keeping three.
Well, the parallel inspection is done for a candidate. A peer review is done for a home inspector.
Read it up there. It says board discipline. It says board ordered discipline.
Right.
It's addressing the peer review. So why do we have three?
I thought the point was to combine the two.
It's just combining
reviewer.
It's combining the individual, yeah. The person who does the parallel inspections and the person who does the peer review.
Right.
Has now one title because they have the exact same.
But their jobs are still different.
And then it's
one's doing.
And then number two and number three are the jobs.
And on number one, it says board order discipline for a.
So a supervising inspector could do either or.
Right.
Either or. So that's what I'm saying is that it's redundant to have one and three.
No, one is the person, three is the job.
It's the process.
Okay, you got me.
All right, so from or keep the current language below, we should scratch one, two, and three.
And four.
And four.
And then five becomes four.
Okay.
And I've done that, and that's how I just kind of look up there.
So now down to, okay, I trust you. Mm-hmm. So now number five says the report checklist supplement is a tool designed to assist a home inspector candidates. We can take off an applicant, right?
No, you can leave them on because this is supposed to be a big umbrella. This is a tool
for everybody. Parallel inspectors, peer reviewers, application reviewers, enforcement advisory evaluators, and certified home inspectors when reviewing or completing a home inspection report. The report checklist supplement is not a substitute for the current version of the standards of professional practice. That's accurate. I'm all for taking that as written.
Just to be clear, the checklist supplement is also for registrants.
That's what it says. And certified
home inspector candidates and applicants. It does not include registrants.
What does certified home inspectors mean to you?
Does it say certified in there?
It's the last one.
Third line.
Okay, yeah, I guess it's in there. All right.
Any other objections to that?
We don't need a separate
motion. In the report checklist.
No, well done. Okay, let's move on down to R430247A and C, both list requirements for a completed application. Changes below reflect merging all language under C and A, added new language to the previous C, which is green, and the previous B discusses standards which were moved to R430301-01. So let's take a look at these. A, an applicant for certification as a home inspector shall submit a completed application that contains the following: name, residence, address, mailing address, if different from the resident address, email address was added, and telephone number, date of birth and social security number, proof of citizenship. We never said proof of citizenship?
Just said citizenship for legal residence.
Huh. A detailed explanatory statement regarding. A, any disciplinary action within 5 years of the date of application. What did it used to be?
It just wasn't there. It was a little too wide.
There was no restriction.
Which was horrible, because then if you had DUI,
I know,
20
a guy,
years ago.
The guy pushed his sister into the pool when he was 3 years old. Okay. Refusal of any professional within 5 years, okay. And any pending disciplinary action in any jurisdiction held by the applicant and the alias of the name used by the applicant. And then another 5-year limitation on any conviction for felony or misdemeanor other than a minor traffic violation within the last 5 years. I have no problems with that. I think that is well done.
Yeah, the statute of limitations on there makes sense.
So we're restricting the research to 5 years back.
Yeah.
Anything to help staff. Okay. Number five, documentation of absolute discharge from sentence at least 5 years prior to the date of application if the application has been convicted of one or more felonies pursuant to AR. The board can't require. All right, I like that. I'm so happy. In essence, we're not requiring these continuous renewal of your fingerprint card, which I'm happy about. Evidence of having a valid fingerprint card clearance, and this is when they're applying as a candidate. And seven, a release authorizing the board to investigate the applicant's education experience, disciplinary history, and criminal history. What brought that up?
Well, I think it's defined elsewhere for our professionals and stuff. I mean, we want you to authorize that we're allowed to use our LexisNexis to do a background check.
Yeah, okay. I have no problems with five, six, and seven. How about you?
No, I'm good.
Roger?
I'm good with it.
Anybody else? Not hearing any. Number eight, certification of the information provided to the board is accurate, true, and complete.
Hope so.
Sworn statements by the supervising parallel inspectors, home inspectors, that the parallel inspections conducted by the applicant meet the standards of R430301-01. Okay? That's where we can hold them responsible. And that's in the attestation?
Which is, I think they're actually separate things, correct?
Yeah, the attestation is separate from the...
Sworn statement.
Sworn statement.
Really?
That's where the one where you kind of rate their work,
Rate the work?
Yeah, that page.
That's the sworn statement?
That's the sworn statement.
And then the attestation.
Separate.
Yep. It's a separate form. Okay. The requirement to submit a parallel inspector attestation isn't listed under and is therefore being added, see below. Parallel inspector attestation completed by the supervising parallel inspectors affirming the parallel inspectors meet the criteria to be parallel inspector pursuant to that. Okay.
And obviously, it needs to be changed to supervising inspector.
Right. Yes. So anything that says parallel inspector or peer reviewer needs to go to supervising inspector.
Can we go back up to eight?
You'll clean that up.
Eight.
Ten.
Are we currently accepting any applications without a notary?
No,
we've gone back and forth over the years on it.
No.
Notary is required?
Yep.
Okay.
Shouldn't that...
Currently.
That first word certification, shouldn't that be attestation?
I was kind of wondering that too, Roger. Or is that... Yeah, certification. I don't know.
Number eight?
Shouldn't that word certification be attestation? Since we're using that word...
But isn't that talking about the candidate himself? Mm-hmm.
It's on the application where they sign that everything that they included is what it is.
So 8 is the candidate, and 10 is the supervising inspector.
And on the application, it says, "I certify the information contained in this application as accurate, true, and complete to the best of my knowledge."
See what I mean?
Yeah, not really. That term certification is a little confusing, frankly. In 8.
Is number 8 the certification that the information provided to the board is accurate, true, and complete, being provided by the applicant, by the candidate?
And dating that, yes.
It's like
that's
the last
being
thing
provided by the candidate. That's when he signs his application.
Yeah.
And 10 is a parallel inspector attestation.
Okay, but in 8, the certification is the applicant signing the application. That's the certification.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
He's certifying the application to be true and accurate.
Okay.
If we want a different word, we can use a different word.
Yeah, it's a little unclear because it's not a certification. It's signing the application.
Yeah,
it has nothing to do with the certification.
What do you mean?
Is a document saying that it's true and correct.
Declaration.
That's what attestation means.
Right. Good. Well, but what this is referring to, I don't think.
No, the attestation is
just the parallel.
Refers to the parallel inspector. The parallel inspector.
Only.
The certification review refers to the candidate, the applicant.
Okay.
You see?
Right.
He's
got that. He's just saying, right?
Everything you do has to be certified.
Saying this candidate.
That
you're telling the truth. You're
true,
saying
correct.
You're
maybe we need to combine.
I'm trying to.
So many different definitions.
Just use one word instead of two or three different words for the same thing.
Yeah, that's all. It's a little nebulous, frankly. Certification and 8 for me.
Let's see.
So we have.
I mean, do we even?
The main thing is
do
as long
we
as
need
staff
that? I mean, or could it be combined with 9, 8, 9's review?
How about if we remove certification that? And we just said information provided must be true, accurate, and complete.
Why are you
it's on the application, so who even needs it in here, right?
Well, you need it in here to have it on the application, right?
Oh.
So we can require it.
Oh.
What if it's a sworn statement that the information provided to the board is accurate, true, and complete?
What does the application say where the home inspector, where the candidate signs it? What does it actually say?
I certify the information contained in this application is accurate, true, and complete.
And
to
that's
the best
all
of
they're
my
telling
knowledge.
You is that you have to sign it. I don't see why it's such a big issue with you guys. Certification that
saying,
the information provided.
You're saying that's a sworn statement. You're swearing that this is accurate, true, and correct. So
right.
Is
and what we're doing is we're listing the things that are necessary for the application.
Right.
Well, so we're just saying that he has to sign it where it says, "I certify that the information is true." I don't see any reason why we need to
say
that.
More clear, sworn statement
that
the information provided.
Sworn to who?
To the board that you're providing.
By signing.
Information. Well, it's just semantics, right? Certification,
yeah, really.
Sworn statement.
I'm not even sure
saying
it's actually
like
needed at all.
Better.
The application requires him to sign.
Years.
No, we're not saying this is not new. This is the rule that's already been written. This is the criteria that the application has to submit to the board, and along with that is him signing the certification at the end of the application that says everything is true.
That's fine. It is semantics, and it's fine. No problem with it.
But to keep it?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, and then we're down to the parallel inspection. My only question on number 10 is the parallel inspection attestation completed by the supervising parallel inspector. Do we need that to be plural?
Yeah.
I guess we do.
Because
there could be several. All right. We scratched out the information and so on. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, number 11, evidence of successful completion within 2 years before the date of the inspection of the National Home Inspector Examination administered by the EBPHI. Which has always been the case, no changes. Number 12, the applicable fees, of course. Number 13, evidence of successful completion. All right, now this one here needs discussion. Within 2 years before the date of application of the 84-hour classroom training, did we not require that to be done within 2 years prior?
No, that's
currently there's no.
Okay, so this is new.
That was just basically adding within the 2 years for each of these educational parameters, the parallels,
the right. course.
And some, if that's not, some of the guys up in Kingman might say it's going to take me 3 or 4 years to get through this application.
Okay.
So that would be my only fear. Or a guy out in Yuma who has to travel, can't afford to travel but once a month to do two parallels, he might be 3 or 4 years before the application becomes,
ready to hand in.
Yeah, thank you.
Because I added the language
to... just parallel inspections in your school?
No, I know, you have
84 hours.
You have, but can someone who...
Yes.
That,
if they don't go to their school.
That they can go to your school and get the 30 parallel thing. Yeah. If they have to,
yeah.
correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's available.
So we're really
not you.
We're just clarifying.
No, he'd have to come here. He or she would have to come here.
Yeah, but it's up to their financial. I mean, can they afford it or not?
So the question is 2 years long enough?
Yeah, because we added within.
What's the record show, Julie? What are you seeing?
Hmm?
Judith? Within the last 2 years.
So it's getting close.
I mean,
to
yeah,
the 2 year
close.
Mark. I agree with Peter. It may cause a strain.
Okay. Because the 2 years is always there for the exam.
Exam.
Right.
Yes.
And then I was proposing adding it to the coursework and the parallels, but we definitely take them out if that's going to
be coursework would be okay. Because they can do that, but the parallels, he's spot on.
So just take it out on the parallels.
Yeah.
Okay.
But have no statute, of limitations on parallels. So if I did an inspection 8 years ago, I could count it?
Yeah.
If the inspection meets the current standard.
But you're still going to have to do retraining to take the test if it's 2 years. So.
No, it's not going to change.
But is 13 simply clarifying the 2 years that we're already applying?
So currently, nope. The 2 years is not in there.
It's not in there at all.
There's no limit.
So they could have done it 20 years ago.
They're a candidate, not an applicant, because they haven't submitted yet.
Well, but that's not true. In other words, if my license went inactive for 2.5 years, I'd have to take the exam again.
Mm-hmm. And
so it is applied that way.
That way, but not for the training.
But not for the training. So you can take the NHIE. I could have taken it 15 years ago and then applied. And so what we're saying now is I must have taken it within 2 years of application?
No, it's always been there.
The exam has always been 2 years, but the training, the classroom training, there's no time.
The exam has always been 2 years.
Yeah.
But
the training had never had a limitation. So what we're trying to do is put a 2-year limitation on in essence, the training is,
parallels.
The exam is out, but it's already been 2 years. Yeah, what they're trying to what this is going to say is that your whole application has to be completed in 2 years. Your training, your 84 hours, and your parallels. And I think it's a little too tight. If someone's been working on this for 8 years and can still meet the current standard when his application is submitted, God bless him. But if we need to put a limitation on it, I think we should at least double the 2 years. We should run it to four.
And we don't need to have a limitation. It was kind of, I like things being neat. If this is 2 years on this, then I want everything else to be 2 years, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's the best route.
Education makes sense, though.
Hmm? And this can't.
2 years for education makes sense, though, as a nice refresher.
Yeah.
And it's really when
they do that online.
And it's when they finish the course, I think, within 2 years, a successful completion. So they've been working on it for 5 years, but they just finished it. That's when we're doing it from the 2 years, not when they start the program, but when they complete that program.
So if you guys are interested in bringing the 2-year limitation also for the 84 hours of training, maybe we should put the 84 hours of training up there with the successful completion of the National Home Inspector's Exam and stop the limitations on the parallels completely. Just make number 13 about parallel inspections and make number 11 about the exam and the 84 hours.
Then you just squish them together.
I like that.
That's something there.
And this way you can keep your limitations so you get your refresher course within 2 years of training as well as passing the exam, and you can run your 8 years of parallel inspections because you're having trouble getting paying for them and get them done. You know what I mean?
Okay.
We offer financing.
Same thing on my credit card.
You take Venmo.
Yeah.
So, can we see what that looks like here?
Yeah, Kurt is working on changing that language right now.
And I can see this coming up as maybe an issue for the home inspectors that get revoked due to not having financial assurance, and then they have to wait a year to reapply to be a home inspector again.
What?
So with this, then they may have to do that classroom training again.
You got
to
wait a year?
Depending on when they took the training.
But if they only have to wait a year, they have a year to get it done then, right?
For what it's worth, I don't really understand the value of that or why that was put in when other professions you can do something ridiculous and be revoked and turn around and apply.
Yeah, why, what's the significance of waiting a year? That's something you ought to put on the agenda.
That's in statute.
Well, just know that that means legislative change.
Wow.
That's in statute.
Yeah. Mm.
I don't care.
Just as long as you spell out E and O, you're okay.
Yeah.
So what's the main reason why staff wanted to add the two-year requirement in here?
To clean up the language. Kurt
be consistent.
Keep everything,
with everything
kind of cool.
Being within pretty current.
So I don't think we want to cause a problem for somebody who's been revoked due to not keeping their financial assurance.
Because the exam is one thing, but having to do the 84-hour training again.
So if he has to wait a year to reapply if he was revoked, that still gives him a year to take the 84-hour training.
Yeah. Do they want to do
or
it?
Right?
That's the problem, yes.
He's being revoked because he didn't have financial assurance, not that he did anything wrong, you know, in his inspections.
Yeah.
It's still kind of
the
same.
Yeah, but
wrong.
He still has to wait a year because that's in the statute. But the question is, do we want him to have to, do we give him a limitation of 2 years or he's going to have to take a class again? There's nothing we can do about him waiting a year being revoked for financial assurance. That's out of our realm. But do we want, during that period, do we want him, are we thus giving him only 1 or 2 years to retake his application, his education? That is within our purview.
And just consider the value as far as public protection, and are we inadvertently creating some kind of barrier or something that we shouldn't?
Are we putting a burden on him?
Right, we don't want that. And you know, any rule changes that are even proposed past the board, you know, we're gonna have open public meetings, and is this something that you know, is it a firestorm that people are gonna be like, justify why you're saying that?
Well, the only justification we have is we bring Kurt up, and we say, Kurt, why don't you just straighten this?
And I'm not in love with it or anything, and I didn't, you know, I might have put it in there just because, ooh, it looks nice, and not really thinking about how it would affect people, so I can...
For the problems it's causing, maybe we should just scratch it and leave 13 alone.
Maybe we should leave it alone.
I will leave it alone.
Leave it alone?
Leave it alone.
Roger?
Yeah, leave it alone.
Any other comments from anyone?
With the exception of suspension or whatever due
unless
to...
Unless previously registered or something, or previously certified by the board or something.
I think it just complicates things.
We don't need to put exceptions in there.
Okay.
The rules, if you're revoked or suspended, there's already rules in place. All right, we're going to leave 13 alone. I heard no objections to that.
So this is the class, and then 14 is just for the parallels.
Okay, now for 14, should conduct these inspections on separate residential dwelling units and shall, should that be removed or kept and 15 included? Okay, so 14 says, evidence of completion within 2 years before the date of application of 30 parallel inspections. The 30 parallel inspections and home inspection report shall meet the standards and be retained by the applicant until certification is granted or for at least 2 years from the date of application.
Why? I mean, until they're granted, why would you need to keep them beyond that? And how would we even...
Well, the reason we were keeping them because someone might say, well, you certified this, you know, maybe they need it for proof or something. Got
they're
in trouble.
They're going to be uploading them.
Yes.
So where are you at?
Oh, you have them permanently.
Unless you verify every
address.
Right.
So being retained by the applicant.
So does the applicant have to have them permanently? He should, but then we don't. Do we want to require that?
I don't think we need that.
We don't need to require.
I'm all
if they want to do it, they can.
Until certification is granted. Any problems with that? David, are you still with us?
Mr. Schwartz.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, what we're saying is that the inspector just has to keep his record of his 30 parallel inspections until he got granted certification. Is that okay?
Yeah, I think that should be okay. Does the board retain that at all?
Yeah, it's permanent.
Granted, yes.
Okay, yeah, sounds logical.
Okay, then it goes, the applicant shall, and we're crossing out, conduct these inspections, separate residential dwelling units, and shall list them on a log provided by the board. The applicant shall list them on a log provided by the board.
Boom.
The log shall include, with respect to each inspection, the address of the property, the date of the inspection, and the name. Signature is added, and certification number of the supervising parallel inspector, which will be changed to supervising inspector.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what we're adding here is to that the date of the inspector, signature, and certification number of the supervising inspector. That's we're adding that. We didn't need that before. The signature?
We have them sign it, but it's not part of the rule.
All right. The applicant shall, and we're taking off, conduct the inspections on separate residential dwelling units, and we took that out because.
Well, again, the choice was, going back to when we started this meeting, is scratch that out, and then you would basically have to refer to what a home inspection is, which is in statute, which is the four units or less.
We're going to need to put that in here?
I think we should reference that person. I think it should.
And that's fine. We can do that. Well, it says that they have to meet the standards in R43301.01. So each of the parallel inspections needs to meet the standards.
Shall meet the standards and be retained by the applicant until the certification is granted, period. The applicant shall list them on a log provided to the board, period. The log shall include, with respect to each inspection, the address, blah, 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 the signature and certification number of the supervising inspector, period. I have no problems with the way you have it. How about you, Paul?
No, it's fine. I also don't see any problem in leaving in, conduct these inspections on separate residential dwelling units and shall. I realize it's a little redundant because we're referring to a home inspection already, but it is further clarification of the rules on the whole separate dwelling unit thing, which seems to be a sticky point.
But the separate residential dwelling unit phrase might disappear. It's going to be changed probably to...
Well, again, the choice was, if you scroll down further, is if we're going to leave it in, are we going to clarify it?
Okay,
and
I
then,
see.
And that, to me, muddies things a bit too much when you're trying to clarify what it is or define it. But it's a choice. Is keep it in there, and do we need to define it? Because right now it's causing issues.
Okay, I see. Maybe more causing more problems than it's fixing, right?
Because you're referencing it as just the professional conduct. You know, 30 parallel inspections shall meet the standards of professional conduct. So, do we reference statute where it talks about the home inspection, or do you, that one's just really hard for me. I'll, you know.
Are you for leaving it in or taking it out?
Taking it out is hard for me, but leaving it in is problematic unless something is a little bit clearer, so.
Yeah. As long as there's no ambiguity with the definition here, I don't see any problem taking it in.
Which definition?
That's the problem.
No, you're right. It is just the professional. It doesn't go
back
to
that. Yeah, it doesn't say anything about anything other than, like, you know, the not taking bribes and all that issue. So,
30 parallel inspections.
I don't know if that's just really. I don't know if that's kind of muddy the waters.
That's kind of weird that it has that specific R43301 and not the.
Especially talking about parallel inspections, that they're referencing all of that. Yeah. All of that, you know.
Doesn't make sense. No. It does work. Sorry, my bad. Because that's R43301.01A. To the extent applicable, certified home inspector shall conduct a home inspection in accordance with the standards of professional practice. adopted by the Arizona chapter of American Society of Home. So they have to do it by the home inspector standards, each parallel inspection. And that's the home inspection, right?
So if it didn't, sorry, maybe I misunderstood, but is there anything in those standards that talk about single family dwelling or what constitutes?
Yeah, single family dwelling less than 4 units.
That's where less than 4 units, yeah.
That's where it shows up.
So it mirrors what's in our statute?
Do we have the standards on? We have the standards here. Hang on. Let's cruise down a little bit. It should be 2.0.
Oh, yeah, that's
2.9. That was 1.9. It was the latest.
No, I'm on the.
Since these standards are applicable to buildings with 4 or less dwellings.
Oh. It says that in the standards.
That's what I see. Yeah,
3.5C.
3.1B. Do I have an old one?
Yeah, yeah. 3.1B.
Yeah.
Standards are applicable to buildings with 4 or less dwelling units in their garages
and carports.
And or carports.
So is 3.1B already in there referencing the 4 units or less in the standards? So bringing it back to where we're at, you're referencing the standards here, are you not?
Yeah. Yeah. It is.
I forget exactly what number 14. Okay. Meet the standards, right. So rather than muddy the waters, you pull it out, but you having problems with pulling it?
No. Okay. And we're not adding a time frame for the parallels to be done?
No. No, we're going to let that continue.
Yeah, I scratched that out. So we didn't add 2 years to anything. It was always under the exams, and it's not being added to the other education requirements.
You added 2 years to the other education requirement? No, we pulled that out.
We pulled that out.
Okay.
Yeah, just for the exam.
So just the exam that has the two-year bit.
All right. So then as written, number 14, I have no problems with it.
And you guys understand the last paragraph being scratched out?
Yeah.
Just because the pain that creates for us.
I'm good with it. Number 14.
Because we just want them to have their parallels done and then apply. We don't want to hold. They don't want them to go apply and then, oh, now we'll get my parallels down and then we're holding on to an application for a year.
Yeah, so you want a completed application.
It might fall through the cracks. All kinds of things
right.
can happen.
We don't want to infer you can submit a partial application without the parallels, right? So I think that makes sense to scratch it.
Any other comments? Moving along, 14 as written. All right, now, how do we determine what is included in ARS 331310, which defines single dwelling unit, but staff is unsure if this definition is overarching? Title 33 regards property.
Yeah, so we don't have to worry about those if we're just going to scratch out a residential unit. Because this was ideas of how to clarify what it is, but, you know, I didn't like where it was going whatsoever. I don't know. But if we are just scratching it and we don't need to clarify it, then all of this can just go away.
Because you changed it to separate residential dwelling unit, right?
Well, we scratched that bit out.
Yeah.
And if it's scratched out, you don't need to clarify it.
So you're saying you're going to...
Just blow this
saying
out.
To remove 15?
Yeah, completely. If we
because it's already inferred.
Because right. We took out separate residential dwelling units above, so they
right.
And that, this was the clarification of
right.
what that meant. But and I'm all for it, but I want to know what staff thinks about.
Yeah, wouldn't you want to have some clarification?
I think what we decided earlier is it would refer back to the definition of home inspection. Right?
Yeah. As long as it meets the definition of the home inspection.
It's kind of the common denominator, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because
So, Judith, do you see any need for any of this?
I'm going to just let you roll with this.
All right, then. Any need?
No.
Okay. Because this is really a staff thing. That this was developed from staff, not from...
Will it help you or hinder you?
I think it's more clear now after we had that discussion of what is acceptable as a parallel inspection. Okay. I think the need is to educate the parallel inspectors about the same information. So, yeah, I think taking that out will make it a little bit clearer for them, maybe.
Because they can now refer to the actual...
Mr. President, can you get this on an agenda in your meeting to educate these guys as to what a parallel inspection limitation is?
Yeah, we can have a class on that.
Yeah, I think you should, because education has to come from your end.
All right, I'm going to take that out then.
Take it out. B is out because you moved it somewhere?
Right, so like it said above, you had B, which had nothing to do with what the actual application.
Okay.
A and C had to do with what you have to give us in the application.
Okay.
Took C, put that at the beginning of A, mm-hmm. so those now are combined, and B got dropped down to where the other standards are.
Mm-hmm. And not changed.
It's probably...
Reworded?
It might be the exact same. I can't remember. I don't think I changed much of it.
Okay, we'll go there in a minute. Completely remove 6 and 7. You mean the 6 and 7 right below us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were not included in A and C merger above as they appear to be overreach? All right, I'm all for removing overreach.
It is. What's the point of asking your current status of other applications and what other licenses you have? We don't mm-hmm. care about that. Were you a home inspector? Yes, we care about that. But
right. Okay, so 6 and 7 were not copied with B to the other pages, what you're saying.
Right.
Okay. And then this section is separate from A, so the applicant does not submit a parallel inspection until staff requests one. Separated from A. So this is B?
This is B.
Is there a capital A somewhere?
Yeah, it was the whole thing was A, I thought.
Yeah, the very tippity top of that gigantic list that A and C combined.
Okay, as long as there's somewhere I could find.
Yeah, it starts with an applicant for certification as a home inspector right. shall.
Okay. Right, so A is the big list of things that come with the application.
Mm-hmm.
So B is its own separate thing. So we got your application, we got your inspection log. Now we're going to request a random inspection from that log.
Oh, I see.
So that's all new language.
All right, so we're into B. Upon request and application, this has all been the same. Okay, we haven't
changed.
Well,
this is brand new.
Oh, brand new. Blue is brand new?
Yeah, blue is brand new.
Okay. This one's a completely brand new.
Upon request, an applicant must provide one or more parallel inspection reports and any other supplemental documents. The parallel inspection report shall meet the standards of a home inspection report pursuant to R-433-0101. An application is not administratively complete until the board receives all requested documents. All time frames what's that word?
Promulgated.
Thank you. Under ARS Title 41, Chapter 6, Article 7, are suspended during this period.
I'm sorry, which time frames are we referring to here?
There's a basically administrative completion time frame and a what's the other one?
Substantive.
So administrative is basically the board staff gets all the documentation, says we got everything that was required by law for this to be 100% complete application. So when we make, and B would say, staff would request that log, we make that request, that time frame stops. And once we receive it, it looks good, that time frame resumes.
Pretty much all boards have time frames for when they can, you know, have to have things completed. But if you receive something in and it's deficient, the time frame has to stop.
Right.
The patient's in, you know.
What and what is the time frame for that kind of turnaround?
It's 60 days for each different completion thing. The first part, which is staff, is getting all the documentation in 60 days, which turns on and off based on what we're getting for documentation. Once that's complete, we go on to the next phase, which is basically the assessors.
Okay. Okay.
And so we try to get that turnaround in 60 days for
assessors. Because when, isn't there an automatic auto response when someone submits an application saying this could take between 2 and 6 months to process? That's what I have heard.
We don't have an automated.
There's something automated
out.
Saying
I've
it's going to be a 2 to 6 month
It was
waiting.
On. It was on Dolly. Dolly has an automatic, once you send her an email, she has an automatic response that says, thank you very much, for your concern, this could take up to such and such and such.
So, our,
so
yes,
you might want to look
some
at
of
that.
Our the email responses is the right. Application process could take 8 to 12 weeks in total.
Right, but I believe there was something that said 2 to 6 months for an automatic email response. And if that is the case, I would just recommend we adjust that to something reasonable.
Yeah.
But I did. That was one other complaint I got also from somebody in Tucson saying, "Hey, I got an automated email response saying it's going to be 2 to 6 months."
Oh,
and I submitted a package, and I said, "I think they're usually turning around in 4 to 6 weeks." Last time I knew,
it depends on the cleanness of what comes in, because you know, it sometimes things get escalated.
Oh yeah,
and right, and then they're like, "Oh, they're and then when you actually do the background work on it, it's like, look, we have everything that ever went down, when you were notified, when we got back, and it's almost, I don't know, I feel a little frustrated sometimes, like, did you really just want like a...
And you should feel frustrated, you know, because the home inspectors are dirtbags, they're going to exaggerate everything. Anyway.
I don't think anybody has been delayed, you know, unduly, or certainly not for...
Yeah, no, and I'm not saying there's been complaints against delay. It's it was a complaint against that message is not being
I would be
very friendly.
If I wish that they would have sent it to you or sent a screenshot, because I would be like, ooh.
Okay.
What's going on?
Okay, so you
for
all
sure.
Right.
So if you ever get anything like that,
got
please.
It.
Anyway, anybody have a problem with B as written?
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
When would staff want to have more than one parallel inspection report? What would cause that?
having them submit all, are we submitting all the reports, or we're planning on that with the online and then choosing one?
I don't think we were planning to do that.
We were planning, we were talking last month about planning on taking maybe three and right. choosing one. I remember that.
Because they can look at as many as they want and...
Well, if the first one is kind of we can't really tell, or you know, maybe just give us another one. I would like the language to be allow us to.
Yeah, I think given the latitude, you know, if for some reason the first one doesn't look right or something, to ask for a second one before you bounce it, maybe
they got
give a little more latitude to the applicant.
I'll tell you what I've run into.
That doesn't keep them from saying, "Hey, we want all 30."
Well, and that's a true statement.
So, nobody wants to look at all 30.
No. Well, nobody wants to, but they should retain the right to.
Yeah. But we're currently doing one. Is that right? Is that what we're
doing? Well, we've made it one or more.
Just no, I know what it has in here, but the application of it is
if he's submitted an application, how does he know which report to send?
Is
well,
that
what
they
ask
how about your best?
The BTR picks it.
We ask them which one to send. They turn in the log, and then we
okay,
ask
Okay, with the application.
Are you guys getting the choice?
Yeah.
Are you choosing?
We're choosing,
the one you want?
Yeah.
They do.
But I
sweet.
Think this language leaves it open for the ones that are commercial property, then we request a different home inspection report, right? The ones that
well,
don't count.
You should bounce them.
Right.
Well,
right.
I bounced one.
I think that leaves that open for us.
I bounced one in review because none of the utilities were on.
Yes, that was interesting.
You know? The electric, the plumbing, all none of it off, and he deferred everything away.
It was a new build.
Now, how do you refuse? Yeah.
That was
a new build. Yeah. And the appliances weren't even in.
Yeah, but did he report on it?
That's not a home inspection.
Yeah.
It could be.
No,
in,
don't have to
in the case
that's called a builder's punch list, my friend. That's not a home inspection.
You don't have to inspect appliances, according to the current standards.
Nothing was in. I mean, but the water wasn't on? Nothing. This has
the
report complete.
That it's not there. That's part of the reporting, though. You can't.
No.
Now you're going to say everything has to be there, and you can't do that.
Yeah, it's tough.
You got 30 parallel inspections. You're going to send me one with none of the utilities on. I'm going to bounce it back. I don't care how you justify that, because you got 30. And if you're telling me you did 30 parallel inspections with no utilities on, then I don't think that you've done your parallel inspections.
Well, they're not going to send it until they ask for a certain. So then they send it. This one property was missing a few things.
Not a few things. The guy was lucky the front door was installed.
Anyway.
All right. So I think we're good on B here, right?
B's good. Let's move along.
B is
good. Remove the committee from evaluating. Okay. Now this one here is, in fact, The rules say that these applications come to the committee, but the applications haven't come to the committee in years.
Right.
What they do is staff deals with the applications, and then a report review is taken care of by a committee member. Not even a committee, an enforcement advisory committee member.
Okay.
And that's, in essence, all this is saying is let's just straighten that with wording up. Okay? So they took the committee out, they put the board back in, they put staff back in, and they put the Enforcement Advisory Committee member who does the report review back in. Boom, done. Okay, and I think it was well written. I didn't say anything I didn't like.
Or staff evaluation.
I'm like, see?
Should they be trained in that as well, the EAC?
Well, the EAC has to follow the standards and the report checklist supplement.
I know. We just had one turned down because we used your favorite word, appears serviceable.
Well, no, that guy must be new because we already...
That's my point.
Well...
They need to have some kind of an education.
And we count on the associations to do that. You got to understand. And we went through this years and years ago. If it's a positive connotation, it's got to be dealt with as a positive statement. So if someone says it's serviceable, it appears serviceable, that's his positive statement. You accept that as the condition.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right? And if it's being kicked back for something like that, positive connotations, negative connotations are common sense. And the only way we're going to educate the...
I think it should just say staff evaluator.
You hate what?
Because
the morons out there is to tell them that, and that has to be done. If someone says it appears serviceable, nobody likes that word.
Okay, so I took
except the guy who used it, but it still is a positive connotation and is an acceptable term for condition.
Right. Of course,
okay?
Functional.
Another one, or. Because I hate the word appears, but
well, it's good for a legal.
So how's C?
Yeah, that's
so. So let's get back to C. So basically, C is allowing us to appoint an independent contractor, if you will, at some point later on this agenda, to do evaluations, right?
Well,
staff evaluator, right, is added into C, right?
And staff evaluator is already being done. The board staff review, let me read it so we understand it. Board staff shall review all applications and refer completed applications to a certified home inspector deemed qualified by the board and chosen from the pool of enforcement advisory committee members or staff evaluators for evaluation. If the application is submitted administratively, complete board staff or the evaluator is satisfied that all statements on the application are true and the applicant is eligible in all other aspects of the to be certified as a home inspector, board staff shall recommend that the board certify the applicant. If any part of the submitted application is unclear or requires further clarification, the matter shall be received by the board and the board may request additional information. This is the system that we're working with right now. There's nothing different in here, okay? The only thing is, it used to say the Home Inspector Rules and Standards Committee, okay?
The main change there is, again, with ARS 32111D, which spells out the responsibilities and basically the powers that the committee has, does not include this. And so... you can't really have a rule saying you can do this when there's no statute that say that you could do it first.
And the reason the committee did at first do these applications was because we had a grandfather in over 400 home inspectors at the beginning of the certain age.
You know, that's actually where they came from, right?
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Day one.
And there was no enforcement advisory. There was nobody else except the committee to do it. And it was.
For that, Peter, for the historical knowledge, because see, then that makes perfect sense.
Okay. Yeah.
And also why it should be cleaned up too.
And why we have to get rid of it, because God knows I don't want to come to these committee meetings with a whole mess of applications on the table to review reports.
But again, this does allow for a separate staff evaluator, which we do not currently have.
Yes, we do.
I'm asking for the change in wording
so
here, exactly what it says on the purple.
And I ask for an evaluator to come up, just say staff, or you could say board staff, if you want, because...
So
okay. So basically providing the latitude if we want to hire someone to do report reviews.
Or, right.
Right?
Right.
Or
does this allow, does this verbiage allow trained staff or a retired home inspector if we chose to, right?
Well, I mean, if we did that, they would be board staff.
Right, they would be staff at that point. So, okay.
Yeah.
So they're not required to be EAC members. Okay.
Is.
All right. I don't have any concern with how this is written, Mr. Chair, on C. Looks like some good cleanup here, right?
Any other questions on C?
No. Can we have 5 minutes before you go to D?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
One break. 5 minutes.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, we are now recording.
Okay, the meeting is now back
in order. This call is now being recorded.
Oh, okay, now the meeting is back in order. We were working on C. The board staff shall review our applications. This is the one that took the Home Inspector's Rules and Standards Committee out of the process because they were not supposed to be there since the grandfathering. And I believe we are all in agreement that the wording is proper. Hearing nothing different, we're going to move to D. This is just cleaned up language, and it's going to read as such. The board shall immediately suspend a home inspector, period. Now let's move to E.
You're funny, Peter. That's funny.
All right, I apologize. Okay, D. The board shall immediately suspend a home inspector certification upon notification or discovery of any loss or cancellation of the home inspector's financial assurance. The home inspector certificate shall remain suspended until the home inspector provides current proof of financial assurance to the board. And then back to normal language, the board shall revoke, this is a change, a home inspector certification. If the home inspector fails to provide to the board current proof of financial assistance within 90 days of cancellation, or loss of financial assurance, all certified home inspectors shall provide proof of financial assurance at the time of each annual certification renewal. Nothing changed there. The board shall not renew a home inspector certification unless the financial assurance is in full force and effect, and there's no change there either. So in essence, we took out the 5 business days of any financial loss, and immediately and prohibit further home inspections until current proof of financial assurance is provided by the board has been removed. Certified holder has been changed to home inspector. And certificate has been changed to home inspector certification. Any problems with the new wording?
So we went from 5 days to 90 days for the most part, right?
Basically, we just took it out that the home inspector had to inform us.
Okay.
That's what that first sentence is.
Okay. Are you guys good with the 90 days? Is staff good with the 90 days?
It's always been 90.
I'm asking again now since we're making changes.
I need Alma up here.
It seems like a really long time to be without financial
returns. That's 3 months.
But again, as long as they can't legally perform home inspections, there's not a real risk, right? But... Okay.
That's the revocation. He'll be revoked if he doesn't provide the assurance within 90 days.
And that's, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm good.
Julie, what do you have over here?
I didn't see anything about that first 60 days. Like, they have to provide it within the first 60 days of being initially certified, so I didn't know if we needed to add that.
So I don't think they can, was my understanding, right, until they're granted...
Certification.
They can't obtain it.
Right. I just didn't see anything about initial certification.
It's
in statute. It's not in rule.
I wish that there was some kind of delay so that they were granted certification, but didn't become official for 15 days or until they provided the FA. Because I know, I'm just saying, because for tracking purposes, it is a nightmare to track multiple dates on an individual,
because they renew and then there's only 15 days left on there,
right? So it's like
financial
we renew
assurance or something.
You, but then
Oh.
What a scam.
FAQ is the same, and it's just...
Yeah, it would be nice to run the renew in the exact same day as, like, here's the new financial assurance that starts right around the exact same time.
Oh, no, that never works.
I know. It would be nice,
yeah,
but it doesn't really work now.
But it does, and he doesn't have to let you know anymore is what you took out of you.
When he loses it, because we know before they lose it, because they give us it, we put the date in the system, and we're sending them out, you know, I think it's at least 30 days before, like, you're... financial assurance in our system is going to expire, and you're going to be suspended if we don't get a new one.
Right, but they could also lose it without expiration, by revocation of the insurance, and you never know about it.
They do tell us, though. All bonds and all insurance.
They do kind of say the insurance company?
Oh. Yeah, we're named on both of those.
Okay, good to know.
So, yeah, they inform us, usually by an actual letter, that this person has been, has been canceled, or this bond has been canceled. And the bonds especially don't expire, per se. They kind of keep going as long as they pay.
Okay, yeah.
And that's... So before coming to this board, I was right next to private post-secondary education, and I knew that they were certificate holders on the policies for the school. So it's, I know that's...
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, I'm good with D, Mr. Chair.
Just for educational purposes, what do you guys consider... if you have money for $25,000 in a savings account, where is that?
We threw that
one out. That got removed.
It didn't get removed.
No, it didn't.
It was in two spots, and it got removed from one spot, but not the other.
Really?
It's still there. And there's totally a dude who gave us a title to a boat.
Is that in here?
It's in the statute.
Yeah.
Oh,
we did that cleanly last time.
That's on our wish list.
So what do you use? A savings account?
Boat.
It's really, I think it has to go before the board each and every time to see if they would accept whatever they give us.
I mean, did he give the board a boat? I mean, the title?
I think that's what it was. I think he had proof he owned a boat that was over worth 20, not that.
And the title came to the board, right?
I think they had to go in the
board
package.
The board has to own the boat. When are we going sailing?
So basically, yeah, they would have to give us whatever proof. And that would have to basically go before the board for them to decide if that's...
Because I wasn't sure how to...
Because we're certainly not experts. Staff is not experts in, you know, making that determination.
Trying to get rid of that. So the only other option besides E&O would be the bond.
I know. Yeah, and right. But there's three right now, and that's
right.
The one I think, you know, to me, it doesn't make sense. You guys are going to have $25,000 anyway.
Yeah, and almost nobody ever used that. And it was...
In the interest of public protection, I don't think that's an ideal situation.
Right. Yeah. But where are we going to have to clean that up then next time?
It's the bill.
It's the bill.
We need to put a bill through. We have another statute document of all the statutes that
we're... And just to be clear, these changes we are reviewing now...
are rules.
You know, are just going to... A rule package that's going to go to the BTR board... And then what's going to happen after?
And then it gets submitted to the governor's office.
So it has to go through GIRC.
Well, we have to ask permission to open it up so it can go through.
Okay, but this is going to be the same process as the new SOPs. It's mm-hmm. all going to have to go in, you know.
The SOP will be part of this rule package.
Right.
It all is going to go together as one thing. That's
okay,
what we're changing.
It's all
going to
go as one big package.
Yeah.
And that'll help the SOPs.
And you're going to wait for public comment.
They won't be standing
comment.
All on them.
Oh,
we
no,
have to.
No,
it has
no.
to be opened up first,
yeah.
And then that's when we have
the
public comment after it's opened up.
Those are the black
reasons. Yeah.
Oh gosh, yes.
Yeah.
People will stop wearing them.
This is a lot of changes. So
yeah. We'll divert them.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So speaking of our attention, so
we're happy with D. Okay. E. Question is: can an inactive certification be suspended and revoked? Okay. So this is the word. A home inspector who places their home inspector certificate on inactive status shall retain proof of financial assurance for at least 2 years after the date that the certificate becomes inactive. A home inspector who fails to retain financial assurance for the required 2 years is subject to suspension and revocation of the home inspection certificate as per subsection C. In order to reactivate an inactive home inspection certificate, a home inspector shall provide proof of financial assurance to the board with an application for reactivation. An inactive home inspector certification shall not qualify for reactivation until proof of financial assurance has been submitted to the board. I have no problem with the wording.
Well, we really didn't change anything, right?
We changed up to there.
Right, but nothing.
Took a dot out.
Just clean it. But the bigger question, the purple, is can an inactive cert be suspended?
That was a question for Scott that Judith wanted to pose to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do we want an answer now? You want to talk to Scott about it? Can an inactive certification be suspended or revoked?
Inactive?
I don't think there's a provision.
Yes, an inactive certification is still a certification. It can be suspended, it can be revoked, you can take discipline against it.
Thank you, sir.
If it is in a status from which it can be reactivated, you can take discipline.
So it says here, a home inspector who fails to retain financial assurance for the required 2 years is subject to suspension and revocation of the home inspection certificate as per subsection C. So the answer to that is yes, we can say that.
Hmm. Yes.
Okay. Deleted.
Thank you, Scott.
Okay. You're welcome.
Any questions on E? Moving right along, Chair.
I have a question. A question. So if somebody's in this initial 2 years of becoming inactive and they fail to retain their financial assurance and we're notified, because we still would be notified, it's an active policy, does it kick into that 90-day?
It does the exact same thing.
And then it's canceled.
And then they can ultimately then just go from inactive to remote.
Correct.
Okay.
Then they have to wait a year.
Yeah. And they would have to reapply.
It'll also affect any application he may put into another state. Because I know if he was revoked in, say, Nevada, that would have to be disclosed here if he was looking for a certification in Arizona. So the revocation is something that he's going to want to avoid, regardless of whether he's coming back into the business.
Are you seeing a lot of these insurances that people aren't being insured? Because insurance now is so reasonable, where before it was pretty expensive, you know?
So the question is, do you see people without any financial assurance?
Yeah.
You'd be surprised, especially a lot of newbies. They kind of get into it and they just don't want to.
It's an education issue there. Yeah.
They don't want to get it?
I don't know what the issue is, but it seems like it's mostly like newbies or people who are just retiring. Just, you know, I just want to deal with it, and I'd rather just be revoked than go into active or anything.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Okay, with no more comments on E, we're going to move to this next. But it says here, the question is, change 5 to 2 years to be equal with the canceled registration for ARS 32127J, which I'm not familiar with. F, there it is. In order to reactivate an inactive home inspector certificate, a home inspector who has not practiced as a certified home inspector during that time in another state requiring registration for the previous, change 5 to 2 years shall take and pass the National Home Inspector's exam. Let me read that again. In order to reactivate an inactive home inspector certification, a home inspector who has not practiced as a certified home inspector during that time in any other state requiring registration for the previous 2 years shall take and pass the National Home Inspector's exam.
So this is already in 127 on the 2 years, is that right? So we're just trying to be consistent with that?
Yeah,
that,
so you could be canceled and wait 2 years and then come back without having to take the exam.
Right, but if I'm inactive for 3 years, I have to retake the exam. That's what this is saying.
That's what the change would be. Mm-hmm. Right now, you could wait up to 5 years inactive what it is currently.
Why do we want to change it to 2 years then?
To be consistent with the canceled. If you're canceled, you seem to be having, it's different, let's see. I guess you're being penalized for being canceled, but if you go inactive, you're not. And it's about protecting the public. Why should they be different time periods if you're not working?
This is for reprocessing.
I'm crazy on 2 years to begin with.
This is for coming in from another state, the way it's written.
No, he's inactive to start with. Okay, and then it does. It says that if you're home inspecting in another state, and you have been
back
in the last 2 years, you don't have to take the exam. But it used to say if you're practicing in another state, and for some time in the last 5 years, then you don't have to take the exam. So it's just actually changing the 5 to 2. If in fact you're inactive here but practicing in another state.
It says who has not practiced. So this is people who are not doing home inspections whatsoever.
Right.
So if you go currently, if you go inactive, you can be inactive for 5 years not doing a single home inspection, come back without having to take the exam. But if you were canceled and you haven't done anything past the 2 years, not five, but 2 years, you would have to retake the exam if you were canceled. And canceled is when basically you didn't renew and you were canceled after renewal period and didn't renew.
Yeah. My opinion should be 5 years for both of them.
Ah.
But
one's a statute and one's
this
one.
I don't know, that's confusing to me. It seems like it's about another state.
Yeah, there's no way to verify.
The part about the other state was if in fact you are doing home inspections in the other state within the last 2 years, you don't have to take the exam. But if you haven't been doing if you're inactive and haven't been doing home inspections in the last 2 years in another state, then you haven't been, then you're going to have to take the exam anyway.
I kind of like keeping the 5 years in there. You went inactive. You're not sure when you're going to become active again. You did it proactively. I think you should have 5 years on the NHIE. I can't think of a good reason why to move it to two. You could be inactive for 3 years, then you have to take the exam again. It's the same damn exam. I don't see any. I'm not seeing where this is benefiting the public or at all here. So maybe somebody can enlighten me on this. I realize to bring in parity if you don't have a license at all, but that's a different scenario than inactive though, and maybe you should be treated differently regarding the exam.
So do you think somebody who has not worked for 5 years anywhere doing home inspections
doesn't need to.
But I think what Kurt was saying is, but if you're canceled due to not paying your renewal fees, then you would have to take that national exam if it's been more than 2 years.
Right. So there's a penalty for being canceled.
What's the point of being? What's the penalty about? And that should be, you should know, be knowledgeable about doing home inspections to protect the public.
Right.
Why is there a difference between these two when it's the exact same kind of situation? This person's not doing
way,
home inspection.
Yeah, no, I realize that.
You know, and to support Kurt, 2 years with the national exam has always been the standard. We always wanted them to, no matter what they're doing with the state, we always wanted them to have that exam within the last 2 years. It shows
even if
up
you're inactive for 3 years.
Well, no, that's the difference here. That's the one scenario we're discussing right now.
Right. But if you're inactive for 3 years, you have to take the exam again in that scenario, right?
Well, you know, if you're going to take a vacation to Europe and then Asia, and then,
and get detained in Russia.
It might take 3 years before you get back.
Yeah, and I realize that someone could kind of try to work the system a little bit and just say, well, I'll go inactive, and then I've got 5 years if this change wasn't made.
And just another thing, for us to verify if they have been working in another state, we wouldn't be asking them for anything really except for, tell us which state, and we're going to look up when you expired or if you're still active. We just want to look at the status. If you've been active in another state for the last 3 years, even if you didn't do a single home inspection, we're going to be, you're good. You're active somewhere else.
All right, I'm all right.
All right, well, 2 or 5.
You're not okay.
Well, how about somebody else? Like, you two.
Speak up.
Roger, what are you thinking?
I think keeping it consistent is the way to go.
So two?
2 years.
Peter?
Well, I'm thinking of financial insurance. You're going to have to carry it for those 2 years. If you went active and you want to come back, you're still carrying your financial insurance for 2 years. And so what they're saying is if you run in longer than the 2 years, you're going to have to pass the exam again. I have no problems with it. I like the 2 years. years. Two years when you're talking about the National Home Inspector Exam for people who have been out of the business for at least 2 years, seems to me to make sense.
Saving in mind, the exam only changes every
now it's
5 years.
Actually.
So
it's it might be a year before the change.
Yeah, basically it's saying.
Yeah, no,
and it doesn't change.
All right. Yeah, for purposes of parity and clarity, I'm all right with two. But
that's crazy the case of the last 2 years. Right. The last 2 years.
Considering going inactive for 5 years, Paul.
I hope to be inactive soon.
I'm right behind you.
Work somewhere.
Maybe not even in front of
you. Music career has taken off, huh? Where are you going to be, in California? Okay.
All right.
I think that we agreed on the two. Any other comments?
Well, I think
that's
we're
going
to.
Making me wonder.
Julie and I are looking at F a little bit more, and it is. It kind of seems to read now. If you read the whole thing, it's like a requirement that you have to be working somewhere else in order not to.
Okay, so we need the wordsmith.
So we're going to look at it some more.
Okay, so we want to be sure F gets back onto another agenda. Okay, Hayden, that would be.
Yeah, it looks like there is a requirement for
it would be,
another state thing in here the way it is. Right. Thank you.
We got a wordsmith.
Yeah, I'm like, wait.
So we'll play with that some more so it's not. Because it should just be saying that if you haven't worked in the last 2 years, if you try to reactivate after 2 years, then you need to retake the exam. That could be worded better so it's not confusing.
All right.
Okay, and we need to get Kurt more work to do so he stays away.
Well, he needs all that. Yeah.
Okay, next, R4330101, Home Inspector Rules of Professional Conduct. The language in R4330101A and B, both regarding the adoption of the standards, is different. Which is correct? Are the standards under B adopted by any other entity? Okay, date will be updated once ASHI adopts the new standards. Okay, so what's your problem?
So B was taken from above.
Okay.
Didn't really go there because it's not part of the application. It's thrown down here. So basically, A is about the actual standards of practice. Mm-hmm. B is the pool and spa.
Okay.
Now, the language in both of these paragraphs is very different, whereas A is basically saying that the board adopted the standards that AZ ASHI adopted on this date. And then B, the board just adopted these on this date.
Right.
And so it's like one is, you know, particular to AZ ASHI, the ones like the board just decided to, adopt these.
We created this standard.
Okay.
The reason we created this standard is we couldn't get anyone else to create the standard for us.
Okay.
All right.
And
so
that goes with
my question about entities. They came in two different ways. The main standards were adopted by from Arizona ASHI. The pool standards were created by a subcommittee, an executive subcommittee here at the board.
Ah, I
both
see.
Approved by the board, so they did come in differently.
So, Mr. Chair, would it make sense to request the ASHI chapter to also approve the pool and spa standards and do them in tandem? What do you think?
Ooh,
right, and have that continuity. Roger, any thoughts on that?
You know,
for the chapter, also putting their arms around the pool and spa standards.
I could take it to them. I mean, this here says from ASHI, not Arizona ASHI. Right here,
pool standards.
Yeah.
Well, they shouldn't have because they were not from ASHI.
Well, it says there's something about a committee.
Huh.
Is
B from 247
or 301? Assistance of the American Society, Commission of the Arizona Chapter.
Just assistance of the chapter. There's no other reference other than assistance of the chapter on here, right?
Did they have anything pertaining to pools and spas before the committee created that?
No.
Yeah. But there's nothing keeping.
It came from 247.
Us putting the pool and spa standards along with the SOPs and getting everything approved together, right? Right. There's no reason why we couldn't, Roger.
Right.
And the other thing is we've been utilizing these for, almost 10 years now. And
over
10 years. So they've proven themselves, the pool SOPs.
Right.
So, I don't know. Why not consider having these go to the ASHI chapter for approval too, and then adopt everything all in one fell swoop. I'm not saying combine the standards, but combine the approval from the ASHI chapter side of things.
Okay.
And just to make it cleaner, and then maybe we won't have two separate references then, and we can combine
Would Arizona ASHI then incorporate those same standards, like mirror them, or are they going to just reference ASHI's? And the reason I'm asking that is because we're saying that we're accepting Arizona ASHI requirements of, you know, whatever year, right? Mm-hmm. So, do you see where I'm going with that? So if Arizona ASHI doesn't fully incorporate the pools and spas, but just only references the National Association, is that a problem? Because then what if the National Association does something that, you know what I mean?
Well, how did the National Association get involved?
I don't see a direct reference for the National ASHI in the pool.
I misread it.
Yeah, I don't think there's a conflict there, Roger. I'm not seeing it.
And like the language up here in A, the very end, this rule does not include any later amendments or additions of the incorporated matter.
Right.
So that kind of language would be popped in there. So that way,
if
there is an attachment to ASHI and they make changes.
We're adopting what's enforced now.
Yeah.
What's been adopted now.
The simplest way that I see this is you're going to have your Arizona ASHI adopt the new set of standards. I think that you should also have them adopt the new pool standards and adopt them as your own. And then we, when we put it into our rules, will recommend that we adopt your adaptations.
And I bet you're going to be changing them. They're going to change them.
No, they haven't yet.
They haven't adopted them.
Well, they actually have once. But that was only in executive committee, I think, you guys. Already, you already recommended it go to your membership,
right?
Yeah, and then it all went to hell in a handbag because David came in with
he threw a monkey wrench in the works.
Yeah, so we know that it'll go.
Hi, Dave.
Just curious, what's the benefit of having them do that? Just because it looks better for the rules package.
The way it was explained to us when we started was we could not create rules. Yeah. Okay, we had to. We had to adopt those, all right? And I don't know why that's true, but that is true. But we were able to create swimming pool rules because there were no rules to be adopted. Okay, whereas the standards, there were standards to be adopted.
Sounds like that's very productive if nationally they ended up utilizing what you've created on the committee.
Yeah, if they want to.
But our standards are not a national standard.
That's right. The Arizona ASHI standards are different because we wanted to keep the format.
Yeah. But if we were able to eliminate some language out of rule based on the fact that Arizona ASHI incorporated that and we're accepting all of that for HERC, that would look better. Looks like we're eliminating. And I don't know when we get a new governor if it's going to be the same situation where they're like, you don't eliminate three, you can't have one, or you know that, John. So
I'm all for adopting directly out of Arizona ASHI.
I think we should try to pursue that.
Okay. And that would help you, right? Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think so.
Especially since you're the one sitting in front of Girk.
So.
With Julie, of course. They're not that bad, are they?
What's the reason? Why did they not want to update the standards of practice? Why did they keep it 2002?
Because it hasn't been updated.
It hasn't been updated since.
That's the last time they were.
There's no newer version.
No.
That's national.
No, we're talking Arizona.
Oh, there's been national versions. There was one in 2013.
Yeah.
But we didn't adopt it. It's
gotcha.
Not an automatic thing. We're like a silo on our own here.
I'm going to tell you why.
Yeah,
because.
Tell me why.
We use the description and the observations. Okay, a description is type and observation is condition. Okay, they use the word inspect. The whole industry would have been turned upside down if we were to go to try to change that. David Schwartz wanted to at first, but then when he finally got into beating it up, he realized,
what kind of a nightmare that would be.
Gotcha.
And that last committee decided to just stay with the format that we have and make our own adjustments into the format. Arizona ASHI adopts it, we readopt it, and then we move on.
Gotcha.
Okay?
Because the way I understand it is the state does not want to draw their own standards. They would rather adopt.
Right? Yeah, from the industry, if you will.
Home inspectors and land surveyors, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. So, and therefore...
For us.
Well, I changed or updated it a little bit. You can look up on the screen. You scroll down a little bit. Can you look other way? Let's see, because this...
I didn't bring my binoculars.
And so we're going to table B for our next meeting.
Can you double click in between the pages? So scroll up, and then you'll see like there's a page. In between the pages, there's just a line. Go down.
Down.
All right.
Stop.
So stop right there. There should be on your thing like a gray area between the two pages. Just double click that. Boom. Okay. Thank you. So with this one, the blue is all the same, and then I just added some of the language from above. So now adopted by the Arizona Chapter Arizona Society of Home Inspectors, Inc. on whatever the date's going to be, the provisions of which are incorporated by reference and on file at the Office of Secretary of State.
Now it's in B?
Yeah. This rule does not include any later amendments or additions of the incorporated matter, and then they'll probably have to get rid of that last bit about when the board published it, because we're going to adopt it. So I'll just do that now.
Okay, so let's be sure that A and B get back on the agenda as well, Hayden.
With the new dates when appropriate. Mm-hmm.
So that we can actually see that those changes, because I can't read that up there.
No, sorry.
And so what we're actually saying is that we would like Arizona ASHI to adopt the new standards, okay, as well as the new pool standards.
Okay.
You can do it in one document. Just so long as Arizona ASHI is made aware that Arizona certified home inspectors do not need to do pool inspections if they choose not to.
Yeah, and that's still in there.
Yeah, that doesn't change.
Right?
But they will be two separate documents. We're not combining the documents for purposes of the chapter, right? There's two entities, but we'll adopt them together, right?
Right.
Okay. Cool.
I'm on board with that, that's for sure. Even separate.
Okay, moving to C. A certified home inspector shall.
Peter, can I ask one question?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
Under A, the last sentence, copies of these standards are available at the office of the BTO.
Yeah.
Are they not getting now?
It's just going
to be online, right? They're online.
Okay.
We don't want
like your meaning that it's okay.
Because we don't want to be forced to have big piles of copies.
That's 20th century language.
That is old language, but shouldn't we still be directing them as to where to go for this?
Available electronically.
Yeah. By the way, the website's wonderful. So easy to navigate. Who did that?
ADOA.
Oh,
yeah, Kurt.
No, no,
all those well computer done. Geniuses came through here in the last 15 years. You made, ended up having to do it?
It made sense. No, it's really good.
You got any time to come back and work on my computer? Okay.
All right, see?
C, I see no changes all the way down until we hit or. Okay, so the certified home inspector shall not, one, pay directly or indirectly. We know what that says. Two, pay or receive directly or indirectly. We know what that says. Three, perform or offer to perform for an additional fee or have any financial interest in the performance of any repairs to the property within the first 24 months. We all know what that says. And then four, be accompanied by more than four home inspector candidates while conducting parallel home inspections. Be accompanied by more than four home inspector candidates.
Yeah.
Or, okay, now, it's or, and this language is being added after board members show concern regarding a case in which a real estate agent who is also a home inspector performed an inspection in a home being sold. Okay, I remember that case. Perform or offer to perform a home inspection on a home while acting in the capacity of a licensed real estate salesperson or licensed real estate broker with any financial interest in the sale of the home. All right. This one is tough.
So there was a loophole here for the salesperson to also inspect. But this is
just one thing happened one time, right? And now we want to put a rule in for that?
One thing happened once
this is a
that
problem.
We know.
Is this a recurring
this is a problem kind of? Area? Uh-huh. I mean, the whole, all of it. 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean, to me, that language is
that
very
language
nice
has been,
and avoids a really big conflict of interest.
Has been beat up so many times, and the reason you have so much language in 1, 2, 3, and 4 is because they have come at that situation from so many different directions, so many times over so many years. So I'm all for not changing that.
I thought we already had a financial interest in there.
That's the ASHI.
We already had that in there, financial interest in the deal. So I'm trying to understand what we're gaining by adding paragraph 5. Because we already said you can't have a financial interest in the deal, right?
Exactly.
So why are we adding that? Just because a salesperson had a financial interest in it? They already couldn't do the inspection because they had a financial interest.
No, that's not exactly true. But you're almost true. They have,
almost true.
They have, we have a rule against a financial interest in a home inspection without disclosure, okay? If you disclose a financial interest, or if you disclose, some conflict of interest of any kind, then you actually are meeting our rules.
Okay, so if I'm going to purchase a property, I can inspect it myself if I disclose to everybody that
and you're the purchaser. And
is that right?
Yeah.
I don't think you being the purchaser is the issue. It's you being the real estate agent and the home inspector.
And that's
the commission at stake.
Now
it's clearly stated you can't do that in the code of ethics.
This is where, but we don't have a code of ethics. This is the.
Yeah, we do.
This is where the problem came into play. The real estate agent was offering free home inspections to his clients, okay, and therefore said to the board that. Because he's not getting paid for those home inspections, they don't fall under the board jurisdiction. All right, that was statement number one. Then it got very, very touchy, and even when it went into committee, the committee went crazy over this.
Yeah, I mean, if this cleans
that
it up,
RV
this is
sales
clean up.
Thing between us and Anthem.
Yeah,
New
River. That's not us. Okay.
Does staff feel this cleans up this loophole?
This
enough?
Is not staff. This came directly from the board, didn't it?
The board actually was going back and forth at the board meeting about this case, and they were especially the public members were very distraught over the fact that this could occur. And the person in the end, I think, was it a minor violation or was it dismissed? Mm. I think they had to dismiss it in the end.
I can't remember.
Okay.
Because he did tell the person, I'm doing the home inspection, and he let them know.
He let him know in his contract, he let him know in his home inspector contract, he let him know every step of the way he disclosed this.
Okay.
They were fully aware what he was doing.
Right.
And he was offering that home inspection for free, okay? Even though we know he's being compensated for it. But he gave full disclosure, and that's how our rules are written.
Okay. But the board asked for clarification on this, so we don't get into this again.
Right,
they felt like their hands were tied, and they didn't like it.
but it's scary even trying to clarify it, because what we're going to do is set a precedent that you can't, if you're a real estate agent, you can't be a home inspector on the same project.
I think he was disciplined by real estate,
the ADRE.
I mean, that's a huge. You don't see that as a
conflict of interest.
Okay,
but I don't care who you disclose it to, it's a conflict.
Now you're a termite inspector, and you're doing your termite inspection on a home inspection. You're getting compensated on both, and all you have to do is disclose.
That's a little different.
You know?
A
little bit different.
But Peter, it's in the Code of Ethics for ASHI, Arizona's chapter, and that's what you guys adopted, so it states it specifically, you cannot have a financial gain.
And we didn't adopt the code of ethics.
Is it an SOP?
No, we didn't adopt the code of ethics.
That is part of professional.
You know, we're just talking about the scenario of someone who is a real estate professional and a home inspector on the same house,
right?
I mean, this is a pretty tight window of here, if you will.
Okay. So the real estate agent says, "I'll sell you this house." And the poor woman doesn't have enough money. I'll do the home inspection for nothing, as long as you understand that Or even I'll charge you for the home. I'm going to charge you for the home inspection. I'm going to charge you for the real estate transaction. Okay, as long as you understand that these are two separate entities and you're paying me for both and blah blah blah. If he's disclosing all that, doesn't the onus then go to the buyer, to the client as to what they
do? Scrutinize that.
You know? Doesn't it then...
How are we helping protect the consumers? Yeah. This guy is making a huge commission off the sale of the home.
This is a first-time home buyer.
And this is a new, yeah, new home. Hayden's buying his first home. He doesn't know what's going on. Really? Yeah. And that's how that complaint came to the... I mean,
yeah.
I know. I hate it too. But do we have the right to say that he can't do that?
I think so. And yeah, I think real estate board did as well.
Everybody thinks so.
Yeah.
And I think... I think this helps address the board's concern in this scenario, and I'm fine with the clarification on it. I mean, in this scenario, who would want them doing the inspection anyway?
This is a terrible situation.
My last argument on this is we're taking the decision away from the client. Okay, as to whether they can live with this situation.
We're deciding the public from making a bad decision.
As it should
and
be,
and no, we can't that, do that. I don't see that we
yes,
have
you
that
can.
Right.
That's why everything pretty much exists.
No, we're protecting our protection of the client is to be sure that our respondents, not respondents, our
registrants,
thank you very much, don't do things that are bad. But to take a decision like this away from the client.
So that's your opinion that this isn't bad, because it seems like a very
it's
bad decision.
A total
decision.
Conflict
this
of
is my, in my opinion, the guy who does this is walking on a razor's edge. Okay,
right.
But if he tells everybody exactly what he's doing, especially his client, over and over in every piece of paper that he put in there, why do we get to tell the client they're not allowed to accept
why
that deal?
We,
yeah, because we see it as
a conflict of interest.
A vendor program. I mean, why are we doing that? Same thing.
It's not the same. This is
it with the buyer beware?
I don't mind. I mean, I hate this. I hate this. I hated it when I had to review that whole damn thing.
Yeah.
But I couldn't bring myself to say that we get to make that decision.
Yeah.
You know, if the whole idea about conflict of interest was disclosure. It has always been based on disclosure.
How many times do you have a real estate agent and a home inspector, they're licensed in both disciplines, such a narrow scope. If this helps address the BTR's concern, I'm fine adding paragraph 5
and
on here.
It doesn't stop them from acting as the real estate agent. All it is for our
jurisdiction
is you can't do the home inspection.
Yeah. Let's keep it clean, right? Let's keep it clean without the potential of a major conflict of interest. I don't care who he disclosed to, the divine, you know, himself. So I like it.
You mean Judith?
You know,
I like it.
The most opinionated board member regarding this issue was Kent, so I wish he was here to voice that opinion again about...
Could I just speak on this?
You may.
This is Dave Schwartz. I just wanted to mention that the allowance for conflicts of interest, as long as there's disclosure, is in the board rules, and it's really applicable to architects and engineers have working relationships together, and they want to have a way to deal with that. That's very different than this arrangement, where it's a really egregious form of of interest, and we took a stand on the four previous areas of really the trouble spots with home inspectors, and this one is at the top of the food on the worst possible thing that could happen to a client when they're acting as both a real estate agent on the deal and they're doing the home inspection. That's the worst thing possible. I think it needs to be in there for sure.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, David.
Any other comments?
I've already said mine.
Okay, I'm done playing devil's advocate. Is the wording good?
Yeah.
Like it.
Perform or offer to perform a home inspection on a home while acting in the capacity of a licensed real estate person or licensed real estate broker
with any financial interest in the sale of the home. Good. Hearing no objections, we'll adopt that and we'll move along.
Thank you.
Now, here's an interesting one. I'm going to read a letter. I'm writing to you to suggest a modification to the instruction provided to the home inspectors that you license. On the 21st of August last year, an inspector certified by your board conducted an inspection on a property that I had for sale in Paradise Valley. I have not been able to ascertain whether the inspector was accompanied by the buyer's agent or not, given that the agent in question has failed to answer my questions as to whether she was present or not. The presence of the agent may be relative, given that the property in question was staged with furniture and may have led the inspector to think that the property was occupied. It was not occupied, and consequently several times, e.g. an exterior drinking fountain, a garbage disposal, steam shower, ice maker, had been unplugged or otherwise switched off. The home inspector noted that each of these items was not functional. I believe that although the response is semantically correct, given the items were in an unplugged state, the brevity of the response could easily lead a buyer to assume that the item was broken or did not work at all, whether it was plugged in or not. I respectfully suggest that the correct response for each item that is found to be unplugged by the inspector is, quote, the item appliance was unplugged. For safety and matters of liability, inspector does not plug items in to determine their functionality. End of quote. Consequently, this item, insert fountain, garbage disposal, etc., is relevant, cannot be tested in the operability of the specific item is undetermined. Yours faithfully, manager of AZNZ. Okay. Why do we have this?
I think it's just part of possible.
Thanks for your input. Thanks for venting. Let's move on.
Who was who was it that recommended that we read this? This came from
Robert Tattle,
was it just her?
It was sent to our licensing inbox, and I just.
Because it's part of the SOP discussion, possibly.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah,
I'm just picking on you.
Okay.
Non-functional, non-functional.
Yeah.
Whether it's plugged in or not.
Only an idiot home inspector would say that it was non-functional because it's unclogged. He would have recommended that it be plugged in, even if he didn't want to do it. And
but the inspector meant the minimum bar.
Yeah.
It wasn't working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever reason why. And we don't know why things are unplugged. We don't want to have to guess at it.
And this letter alone to the agent, if it went to the agent, will prevent him from ever getting a job in that agent's office again. I mean,
we're not going to mandate language on unplugged, so I don't see any need to do anything with this.
Although I think that we ought to copy it and put it right into our standards.
Yeah.
Right from
Wait.
Well, I think they appreciate the fact that you guys had read it.
Right. Yeah, we did look at it. Thanks for your input.
I'm sorry that we're laughing about it, but the truth is he felt that the home inspector did not do his due diligence. The home inspector met the minimum standard. In my opinion, I agree with this guy. He did not do his due diligence. However, we can't mandate.
Yeah, and they can take it up with the inspector too, right?
And I hope that he did.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Any more discussion on that? David, you got anything to say? I know that the home
inspector. No, I agree.
Oh, I thought the home inspector might have been David, but that, okay. Okay, the next item here is the new standards, which we have all come to the agreement that the last copy of which is going to hold with no changes. Okay?
Yeah. Version 1.9, or did you change it?
The one
I don't think I've changed anything.
The,
but let me
the very last one that you sent to us with all the changes included.
Immediately after the last
meeting.
I'm going to say that's 1.9, correct?
Right, that's what you're thinking. That's the one that
that's
we're going to go
copy and paste.
If we can all get a copy of that email to us just to be sure we can compare it to the last ones that we were emailed with to be sure that there hasn't been any changes, but we're not touching them anymore. Okay? Got it?
And can we get both?
David, you've seen a copy of that too, right?
The one that has the changes as well as the one that's clean.
I still have them on my
desktop. To bring you all up to date, the only other change that could possibly have been made to that was about fire egress from the bedrooms. and we all decided to leave it as it is, ambiguous, and rather I should say, just to report on the lack of egress from bedrooms, not to get involved in numbers sensitive sizes and square footages and et cetera, et cetera.
Yep, we okay? did kind of run that by a national resource and got some feedback, and we're going to go with it the way it is. Right?
Excellent.
All right.
That's exactly right. Okay, now we're going to move down to the standards of practice for swimming pools and spas. I remember in our last meeting we had some questions or some changes we wanted to make. 1.2, somehow I got a window on my computer here I can't seem to get rid of. It just
shrunk.
This
one canceled.
This one here?
Yeah, it canceled on that one.
Where are you at? You try again? Oh, cancel. There you go. Okay. And then I don't want to cancel that one.
Too. Hit that arrow.
Thank you, sir. There we go. Okay.
Two.
Okay. 1.2 said these standards of practice provide inspection guidelines, make public the services provided by private fee paid inspectors. I don't know what we were thinking about on that change. It was just listed in the minutes. Does anybody remember?
I'm not seeing it, Peter. I'm not recalling what we need to do on that.
Okay, let's move to 2.1. Inspectors performed to these standards shall provide the client with a better understanding of the swimming pool and spa conditions as observed at the time of the inspection. A, these standards apply only to swimming pools and spas installed at a property with a single-family residential structure. B, swimming pool spa is defined as a contained body of water that is 18 inches or more in depth at any point, and this is intended for swimming or immersion. Nobody had any problems with that? I don't know why this got listed.
I'm not sure.
Oh, wait a minute. Hang on. What am I looking at here? 3-1, 3-2, 3-2, 4-1, 4-2. Oh, okay.
This is coming.
This is just a direct pull from the standard. Okay.
Yeah, I don't recall us wanting to make this many changes on the pool.
I don't recall you guys wanting any changes.
I don't remember either.
I would say just leave them as they are. Leaving
Do you recall, Roger, what we were trying to do with this?
No, I think it was just listed and put into the minutes as those are, because that's every section of the suite.
I remember us saying we should take a look at them, and we did.
Yeah.
And I recall we had the electronic controls piece, remember, that we wanted to keep parity with from our primary SOPs because of all the remote controls on the pool equipment. I know that was one component.
We got it in at 22. Okay, that's B22.
Got it. Electronic controls. Uh-huh. And that we might need the same definition that...
we defined it. Digital computerized, low voltage, or
right.
solid state.
And that needs to be the same as our glossary and the SOPs for electronic
standards.
Controls, right?
Well, let's go see what that one says. The normal standards.
I don't know why cosmetic items underlined in here.
No, we didn't. Here it is. Digital computerized, low voltage, or solid state. Yeah. That's in our standards. That's it.
So that's the same as...
It is the
okay,
same.
So it's the same.
Okay, the only question I had was, we're talking about major defect again. Now,
right.
We moved major defect out of our primary standards. Remember?
Yeah.
And yet we still...
Section
well,
referring to
what did we do with either. Major defect on a definition on our primary?
We took it out. We took it out of the standards.
Altogether, huh?
Yeah. Where did it used to be? Major defect used
and
to be.
And then we just modified
beginning.
Immediate major defect, right?
No, we changed. Oh, I got it.
I think it was immediate major defect. I think that's
what
it was.
We got to hang on.
We just need to keep parity with
okay.
it. And.
All right, comment on that last book. Show blah, 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 blah. Okay, it's right here. State the condition of systems and components so inspected with unambiguous terminology such as satisfactory or repair needed state any systems and components so inspected that were found to contain a major defect and any recommendations to have corrected, made, monitored, or evaluated by appropriate persons. And major defect, let me see if we have that in the, yeah, we took out immediate.
Right.
And we're going into major defect is a system or component that is unsafe or the primary function is not working properly. Okay, so down here in the pool standards, let me just see what we had here from major, immediate major repair, major defect, which is not quickly addressed, will likely do the following. So where, you're not set up to search, are you? Where we use the word immediate major repair in the pool standards.
So we have it in 2-2 Baker 3.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the only one that I see other than the glossary.
And I don't see it anywhere else.
Okay, so we pulled immediate out of major repair in the other standards. So we still have immediate in here. Immediate, it's called a major defect. All right, I'm not too concerned with it. I mean, I'm sure that it's self-explanatory.
Yeah, and we could always still keep immediate major repair in the pool spot unless there's ambiguity with our primary SOPs.
I think we ought to just...
You want to try to keep them exactly the same?
Just leave it the same.
Leave it as it is, you
mean? Leave it as is, Roger?
Leave it as is, because I haven't heard any complaints.
Okay.
These have been enforced a little more than a decade.
Right. It's more of a cleanup issue than a functional one, right?
Right.
Really, and I think that's more of our decision is...
Besides that,
because now's the time if we're going to...
The bigger fish to fry is going to be the report checklist stuff.
Yeah,
we've got to rewrite
it. So
why are we wasting our time on this?
But the checklist won't come until it's been adopted.
But maybe,
right?
we should leave the pools.
Leave it alone, and right. Red actually adopt
it. We'll go ahead and adopt it.
Unless there's something compelling in here.
Right.
But somebody at ASHI might have a different opinion and want something changed in there, so it might be good just to give it to them now.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, Roger, if anybody on the ASHI side, Brick, anybody else, has any heartburn about any of the pool and spa, now's the time to bring it up. And
Keith, any problems with the pool and spa standards?
Guys would have the ability to do some tweaking and then bring it back and say, this is what we approved. It's just like you have, but we removed immediate major defect or something.
David, any
problems? You'd have the ability to do the modification at the chapter end and then give it back to us if you wanted to, so...
David, any problem with the pool and spa standards that you can see?
No, I think we didn't need any changes.
Anyone else?
Rather than mention it.
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to send the pool and spa standards as well as our standards of professional practice to ASHI and get Arizona ASHI and let them put it through the system to adopt. And when they come back, we'll deal with them all then. Any questions?
You have to go to chapter vote on that, right?
Yeah.
You're going to need a quorum for the chapter.
Yeah.
Right.
That can be done.
Excellent.
And we'll give you 20 days.
No, we'll give you more than that. Roger, thank you for doing all this, by the way. Yeah, that was a lot of work on your
own. Thank you guys for letting me sit here.
Okay, back to the agenda, if you hang on 1 second, please.
D as in dog financial assurance. Right.
Hang on now. We've gone through all the rules.
D here.
C, parallels, D, clarification committee discussed. System. Okay. D, it says possible rule. Is this our agenda?
No. Here, no, Peter.
No.
You got to go way back further up. Right? You're way at the top. Which way do you go?
Way at the top. What do you mean?
Okay, here we go.
It's the bottom.
Okay. All right, D, home inspector's compliance with financial assurance, we discussed, okay?
There's nothing else to hit on that, right?
Yeah.
We hit the financial assurance.
Yeah.
Was that, all right. Judith?
No.
Is that an update or anything regarding the financial assurance, what we're doing, or is that a discussion about just with the rules?
I think just to talk about what we had been working on, which I think we kind of already did.
Right.
And it's, the new information on that was that we only corrected half of the rule, or this, we corrected but the rule, but not the statute.
It is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're going to 5E, possible recruitment of EAC members to serve as peer reviewers.
So
that's changed now, too.
Everything's changed here.
Yeah, so it sounds like there's a backlog. In order to get volunteer report reviewers and application reviewers, there's a backlog waiting for that. So the idea is to actually pay somebody to do that, right?
Well, that's not peer review. That's application review. That guy would be
Just serve as peer reviewers.
Peer
I'm
reviewers
sorry.
Are complaints. And
I'm sorry.
And we generally...
Those report
don't,
reviews.
Don't we generally have the home inspector submit a peer reviewer? If his disciplinary action is peer review, I always thought the system was he submitted the name of a peer reviewer to
the attestation
to work with.
For approval.
If they needed to do additional.
I'm not sure.
There's no
I'm confused by, I don't know what this agenda item is about. Who put it on the agenda?
So it's not about peer reviewers.
I did.
You did. It's not about peer reviewers. So possible recruitment of EAC members to serve as application reviewers? Is that what it really meant to say?
I think it's for both, right? Initials and the complaints that are coming in. So I think there's a need on both sides, but I'm not sure.
So it's really more about getting more EAC members, not necessarily for peer review, right?
I think, well... Can I just announce that we did post?
Yeah, I saw that letter.
Is this not posted yet?
No. Working for EAC?
It's almost.
I don't know why this is an agenda.
The item was submitted to ADOA. The job posting was submitted to ADOA, but it's not posted on the state website yet, but it will be soon.
So you're looking for a permanent paid member?
Talk to a
This will be a part-timey.
This is the one. This was the letter.
So that's not what this is about?
Someone who might be retiring or something like that?
I don't know what this agenda item is about. Sorry, I'm confused.
Okay. I just had a note from the last meeting to add an agenda item for this for the possible improvement of EAC members.
EAC members.
I'm sure that's what it was because it's been an ongoing problem forever.
Okay.
So we always need a big
always need EAC.
Because it doesn't matter. There's people there. But, I mean, according to both Julie and Doug, there have been a really difficult time getting timely turnarounds and people to respond.
What's the requirement to be an EAC member?
You send in your application to Doug Parlin, he puts it before the board, and the board checks the box.
Yeah, so if there's no time frame, here you got somebody that's 1 year or 6 months, and they're reviewing these reports, I think that's a big issue.
They used to come through committee.
Well, that's the way it ought to be.
They used to come through here, the committee reviewed their
credentials,
and then we made a recommendation to the board.
Well, their credentials are reviewed. I mean, are they in good standing? Are they licensed?
No. This was a committee opinion. It wasn't based on any rules. An EAC committee member came, application or letter of intent with a resume, interest came with a resume onto the Rules and Standards Committee. They reviewed it, they discussed it, and they said, well, he'll probably be good, or I'm a little worried he hasn't been in the business long enough.
Stuff like that.
Not based on rules, based on experience. And then it went with that recommendation to the board. Okay, now it's being, we haven't seen any of those. And I sat with an Enforcement Advisory Committee member the other day that I wanted to hang.
Yeah. So maybe you ought to do that. Reinstate that.
What, hang?
Future agenda item, if you want to put something on the future agenda, but we can't.
Well, we have it here.
Yeah.
The possible recruitment of EAC members.
Well, you're changing the criteria of what's going on right now, so if you want to talk about that,
and that's also not on the agenda.
So we can do that.
So, but maybe it should be. It should be on a future agenda, maybe.
Only if you think so. Because
Anyway, it's not this agenda item.
Can we get a future agenda item? We can consider it. Just because we say we'd like it as a future agenda item doesn't mean we have to keep it if we have a draft agenda for the next meeting.
Anyway.
So was this item E, was this in reference to the commuter, to the job that you guys are offering?
No, it was just in reference from the last meeting to the fact that Jeremy and Doug were perpetually having problems getting
Enforcement Advisory Committee members.
Right, so that they could have reviews.
I think
everyone's just busy.
Busy. We ask them to review things and they just don't have time.
That's still
because it takes over 2 hours to do it.
It's not exactly what that is.
It's different. Okay.
Well, since this part is on the agenda, I'd like to just say that it used to be a tougher process to become an EAC committee member.
Yeah.
That, then it became very simple because applications started to be coming in quickly. Okay, and if we put it on the agenda, what are we going to discuss? Whether or not we need to streamline the process, whether we need to make the process more difficult or more, you know, really start to pay attention to qualifications.
More credentials. Maybe.
Which we dropped, okay, because now almost anybody can get in there. I don't know, but just for your own benefit, Hayden, it's got nothing to do with peer reviewers.
Okay. Okay.
All right, put that on the next agenda and we'll discuss that. Any other questions? Any other issues that are on the agenda that you'd like to discuss? Did we miss anything? If not, we'll go right to the committee chairman's report. I have none. The committee chairman. I'm supposed to give a report?
Hard to believe.
Just there in case you have one.
Oh, okay. There is no committee chairman's report. Future agenda items?
Just stated it.
That's one.
Parallel inspector training.
Parallel inspector training, please. If you're okay, Peter, let's have that as a future one. I know you feel it's the chapters thing, but I think we've got some meat there to discuss on that.
I'm okay.
And there's something there. I think there's something there that can benefit the profession. So let's talk about guidelines or training for parallel inspectors or supervising inspectors if we want a bigger umbrella on it, right?
Yeah, I like that word, supervising.
Okay, so if we have that, thank you.
Yeah. I know,
what else for future?
I don't know, but I can dig into my past and find the course that we wrote for specifically that here at the board that never got off the ground. I'd see if I
you know we could
the future meetings. Oh no.
Yeah.
Future agenda.
Any other
anymore?
Future agenda. Should we start? Discussion on the report checklist supplement with the new standards.
We need to wait until more towards adoption because there's still a chance that something might change. I don't know. I would hate to go off too early on the report review checklist before things are really like definitely.
It's going to be. We're going to use the old ones for a while.
We're using the old standards, so we're going to continue to for a year or two until everything works through the governor's office, right?
Correct. Okay.
So we have to stay with our current checklist. So, I don't know that we need to start working on it quite yet, in my opinion.
That's fine, but it'll be an agenda item.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have a revised one, no doubt about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's nothing to stop you from getting a jump on that.
Yeah, if you want to start playing.
Okay. Anything else?
This is Dave Schwartz. I wanted to mention or just say that it looks like on this agenda there's no line item for staff, a report from staff or
Director's
Judith report. Or anything as the executive director, but there might be times where that's advantageous to have on there, and historically we've kind of been given briefings of, you know, numbers or the system changes with regard to computers and things like that. So something to consider.
David, I can't respond to that because, like, historically this board or this committee doesn't meet all the time, and those report statistics, updates, all of those numbers, everything is always part of my director's report at every monthly board meeting. So it's always there.
Yeah, it's just not to us. So I kind of would like to see a executive director update, just, you know, as a line item. If there's nothing to say, then there's nothing to say, but I would like to see it on there.
So I'm basically just be reiterating what I've said at whatever's the most current board meeting, but that's fine. You can do that.
There is some information, though, that you, excuse me, Roger, there is some information, though, that you may not do at the board meeting, such as the status of how many home inspectors have been certified, how many have retired, how many went inactive.
The complaint report.
Every meeting.
That's in every board meeting? Okay, and the only other option would be, the only other thing that ever interests me was any rules or regs that were coming up that affected home inspectors.
Or legislation, if the session's open, those kinds of things, bills getting run. You know, those kind of updates have been helpful in the past, and most of us are not privy to what goes on at the BTR board, so I would see the benefit from it.
You can. Okay, just devil's advocate, it is always available to you. You could, like, fast forward, you can listen to it.
Great.
You know, but I'm happy to share that again.
Thank you.
Because all of those things are always on those reports. Legislation, rules, everything you just said.
Yeah, it's always nice to hear from.
Well, in which case, as long as we know where to go to get it, then we are absolutely fine. Okay? Anything else?
Anything else for future?
I don't have anything future further.
Hmm?
Do not have anything further.
Hmm.
All right, future meetings?
Well, David, anything else?
Do you...
No, that was it. Thank you.
Keith?
Do we wait to schedule a meeting until we know when Roger...
How far out we want to go here?
Have the opportunity. Yeah,
let's schedule one now. If we have to change it, you can
the only thing we, the only thing that would be pending would be the new writings of what you we just did today on the rules, and that can wait until we're done with the standards.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing going on. We generally take the summers off.
We could do a September, October.
September or October, or
what do you guys think? Is that too long?
September, July,
time.
August,
that's
September.
A long time.
July, August, September.
Next June.
September, October. We like to do a November and never do
that
a December.
You, I mean,
so,
Roger, how long?
September.
September, maybe.
So that we can back up again in November.
Yeah, and plus
well,
by September we'll have a status on what's
going on. To get everything scheduled
and
all that.
Which house
no,
approvals. To give them time.
Okay.
So maybe September is good.
I'm good for September.
Okay, September.
15th.
Okay, if it was earlier, because we've got some... association thing, so if it could be maybe about hang on.
Ascot.
You want to do it like first week of September, June?
Yeah, that's Labor Day. People might be gone that weekend, but maybe the 7th, I guess.
Were you thinking about the timing of your board meeting? Is that it?
Board meeting should be the 27th that month.
End of the month.
Actually,
21st, 28th. Do you want to go Wednesday?
Wait a minute.
No, you don't want to get that question.
Board meeting for September. What day is the board meeting in September?
Well, we have it on the 27th on this calendar.
But.
And we used to always try to get in about a week or so before the board meeting in case something had to be put on the board's agenda.
And then we're probably going to need to do one last one before the end of the year anyway.
Yeah. Back up in November.
So kind of space them out a little.
Yeah.
So we didn't change the...
You're right, it's the 27th.
Yeah, August was changed. August is on a Monday now, but September is still a Tuesday.
What about the 31st of August?
August 31st.
Yay.
Is that enough?
Bring some cake.
Yeah.
Are you still
and
on,
what
Scott?
What day is 31st of August?
It's
Monday,
Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Is August 31st, does that look good for you?
Let me take a look. The committee shouldn't worry about my calendar because we... we'll be able to have some legal representation at any time. They're all able to show.
Yeah, we have you.
August 31st is iffy for me. I potentially may be out of the country at that point.
So you don't want to do September, Judith, right?
But we would be able to have legal representation.
September 7th?
Yeah.
How about September 7th?
Want to try that? We good? 9-7?
I'm
potentially out from the 30th to the 16th, but
okay.
But again, there could be any number of people who would be able to come in. If I'm not able to make it to the committee, shouldn't make a decision based upon my schedule.
Go
7th. September 7th it is.
9-7.
Wednesday the 7th.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. If everybody's happy with 9-7 for now.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Are you making it? Are you seconding it? All in favor?
Aye.
It is 10:48.
That's way too early.
At 11:48.
Thank you. Oh.
Well, thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thank you for showing up.
Absolutely.
Recording stopped.